Good afternoon. I'm Tyler Danberg. In Monday's blockbuster trade, the Browns dealt two-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year Myles Garrett to the Rams for Pro Bowl edge Jared Verse, a 2027 first rounder, a 2028 second rounder, and a 2029 third rounder. The picks in return match GM Andrew Berry's criteria if he were to ever deal Garrett.
Number one, it would have to have short and long-term benefits. Number two, as part of the trade, a young, cost-controlled star at a premium position would have to be included. And the third piece is that there would have to be premium draft capital.
Garrett wrote in a statement to Browns fans, "Loving you is easy, leaving you is the hardest part." Golf's second day of practice rounds continued today for the Memorial Tournament. PGA champion Aaron Rye met with the media earlier today with Wyndham Clark at 1, then Mirfield Village Golf Club founder and 18-time major champ Jack Nicklaus at 2. Breaking sports news when it happens right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
All right, here we go. Rando Tuesday style, Rothman and Ice. Anthony Rothman, Matty Ice Hayes, and the Loose Cannon. Boys, good to see you.
What up, what up? It is good to see you as well, my man. Good to see you as well. How you feeling today? Good?
Yeah,
good,
better. Good. Yeah, good. What do you want to do today? What do you want to talk about today?
I felt like yesterday when I left and I got in my car, I was like, oh, I can finally catch my breath now. Because it was an exciting sprint to the finish for us yesterday. The news broke, what, right around 1:15, and it was a lot to unpack, but I loved every single second of it. Like, those are some of my most enjoyable shows, when you and I kind of get breaking news on the fly that not only is big-time breaking news, but big-time breaking news that hits home for us as well. Yeah, man, it was a banger of a show yesterday, I thought, and I had a hell of a time chopping it up with you and everybody, listeners, everybody was involved. It was a fun day yesterday.
Makes you feel like you're in the mix.
Makes you feel alive.
Honestly,
a little bit, too.
It does.
You know?
I remember those days when I was doing TV and a game would end in a dramatic fashion, whether it was a Buckeye football game or something, and that race down to the set and the cutting of the highlight and making sure you had it and everything's frantic. That's the adrenaline. That's kind of what you live for a little bit. You hear all these athletes talk about being in these dramatic games, and this is why, you know, all the cliches that get thrown, this is why you came to play in games like this and be a part of something. And I think when you get into talking sports every day, that's what you live for.
Yeah.
You live for something like yesterday where people are off the scent and it's a well-kept secret of a superstar. And you kind of see some hints of it, but no one's really willing to stick their neck out. And you can ask questions about it. You can keep talking about deadlines. And the team deflects. And I said, that's okay. The Browns want to deflect that. That's okay. And we'll hear from Andrew Berry. But let's honestly make no mistake. I heard three times yesterday, I can't believe the Browns got rid of Myles Garrett. They didn't get rid of him. He got rid of himself. That's the only way it happens. They're not moving him if he doesn't want to be moved. My guess is that he really wanted to go to the Rams. And that's why Berry probably said, you know, this wasn't a big auction. We didn't shop the deal. My guess is that Myles Garrett went to them. Now, did he go to them with a list of teams? I don't know. It doesn't sound like it. If the Rams weren't interested, maybe he could have moved on to another team. But once they locked in, and as I said to you guys yesterday, the once that the picks came down, their ask, and Verse came in, now we have something. Now we have the foundation of a trade. But this doesn't happen if he wants to stay. And the one question that I keep having in my mind, and I don't know if we'll answer this, but someone needs to ask him, and I don't even know if he would tell the truth. This is of Myles Garrett. If Jim Schwartz is the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, do you still want out?
Garrett. Myles?
I think the answer to that question would be yes.
Really?
Because my mind goes back to his statement when he announced that he wanted out. I'm going to believe him that this is about winning and that he's fed up with playing at a high level individually and not having the team success come along with it. He mentioned in the statement how much he loves the fan base and all of that. This isn't about any of that. I'm buying what he's selling when it comes to that. So, yeah, I think that's where he would lean, towards the winning side of things. And, you know, I hope that Browns fans feel better about the player that they're getting in return. Because I can understand, right? Like, you're a Browns fan, you're focused on your team, you're focused on kind of what's happening in the AFC North, and maybe to a certain degree what's happening around the conference. Maybe you're not tapped into a whole bunch of LA Rams games, but I do think when you look at Jared Verse and what he's going to be able to do for you right now, that to me is what made me feel good. But then I went home yesterday and I was like, what is this guy? Like, who is he? For the folks that really don't know, I mean, Jared Verse, as we highlighted yesterday, Defensive Rookie of the Year. This is going to be his third year in the league. And over the last two seasons, Jared Verse is third in the entire NFL in pressures. You know who's first and second? Miles Garrett and Micah Parsons. Two guys that have been traded over the last couple seasons for very high-end draft capital. So that's the player you're getting in return before we even get to the draft assets that they got. So overall, I still feel good about what they got. And I think it's going to pan out well for them because I now have confidence in what Andrew Berry's starting to do with the draft over the last couple of years. I'm in on the Browns draft. One of the drafts we know that they have dudes because we've seen those guys play already. And I like this class that they just had because I think there's going to be two to three guys that are going to be able to help them consistently as well. And so I feel good about it, AR. I really do. And I think best case scenario for the Browns is going to be, hey, you lose Miles Garrett. You're a team now that's probably not going to win a ton of games. And you may not have to use that extra first-round pick from the Rams next year to move up to get your quarterback. You may already be in the ballpark of grabbing one of what could be a top four-ish, you know, kind of class of quarterbacks in 2027. Yeah.
It's a proven commodity. Verse was 19 overall in 2024. He was picked. He's been great. He's been pressuring the quarterback. He's athletic. He's lived up to their expectation. You got a proven pick there. And I don't think it matters where he's from, but he is an Ohioan, so it's
Dayton guy, right?
Yep. So yeah. He's an Ohio native, so it kind of adds a little bit of PR goodness to it. But other than that, now I don't know. I've never heard him say that I grew up dreaming of playing for the Cleveland Browns.
I don't know.
I haven't heard that.
Are there any kids that are growing up?
Yeah, probably there are some.
Why would they want to play for that franchise? I guess is my question. Have the kids growing up?
Maybe 25 or younger, right now. Flip off a big text to Tyvus and ask him if he dreamed of playing for the Cleveland Browns.
By the way, congratulations to Tyvus and his wife and his entire family. They welcomed a new life into the world today. Yeah. So congrats to our guy, T. He'll be out for a few weeks. But
maybe one of his children will dream of playing for the Cleveland Browns. So this is where it stands. It's a good trade. Would it be? I said it yesterday. From a PR standpoint or from a fan standpoint, would it have been cool if the Rams unloaded every pick they've ever had or if a team stepped up and said, here's three firsts and a second and third, and you can have our, you know, here's a sack of used football. Like, you can have everything, and we'll stock your soda machine for the next 8 years. I don't want my guys paying for soda. Like, there could have been something like that would have made you feel decent and that you had all these picks, but it has to equal something, and they're never one-to-one usually. The ammunition they got to be able to move up. Now, I said it yesterday, if they hit on a quarterback, on a guy that's on the roster right now, whether it's Deshaun or Shador, and you've heard me say this for months, the weird part about playing Deshaun, and I'm all kind of warming up to it now, because they got to find out if he could still be a guy or the guy. And if he is, and he doesn't have to be top five quarterback in the NFL, but if he's a guy you can win with, he's got enough runway left. The big if is health. And then the other part, if you have health, is his mind. How will he be between the ears? Are they getting enough weapons? Can they protect him? Will they have a running game? And if you do, because I don't know, because his athleticism was his big weapon. And with the Achilles and all that, you know, we'll see how he does. Maybe he's lost a step. But if they hit on that, then all of a sudden you're now building around what you dreamt of years ago. It actually would be working out. Now, I don't think he'll ever be close to probably what he was, the guy they thought they traded for. Mm-hmm. And then the scary part for me was, all right, if he doesn't, how long do you let this run? Because this is a little bit of massive rebuild, a little like they're in a rebuild mode. Mm-hmm. So how long do you kind of let this go? And then if they're losing, which maybe they should, then is it Shador time? And then you kind of piecemeal this season together. We'll talk more about that. But I'm with you. I like the trade. And the only reason I like it is because I think Miles wanted out. His heart wasn't in it. I'm not saying he wouldn't have played well this year. He would have if he stayed. Mm-hmm. He's a competitor. He would have played well and probably had a great year. How many wins it would have equaled may not have mattered. And then you're stuck again. Then he's a year older. And remember, you're trading him off of a record-breaking sack year. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this 2 months ago. His leverage was never going to be higher. His value.
It was the time. It just, you know how we were talking about how it felt like Mike Tomlin and the Steelers had done so many good things together, but it was just time. It kind of felt stale a little bit. I think you could have a similar conversation or feeling about Miles and where the Browns were at this point in time, to where on one end of this thing, you found a dance partner in the Rams that's ready to go all in. And on the other side of this thing, you have a team that's rebuilding with a player that's at the peak of his powers that, when you look at his age combined with where the team is, did it make much sense to keep him around? And I think they found the perfect dance partner here. Both teams here did, and I think both parties did some good business yesterday.
That's it. Both teams, for their own situation, did well.
Yeah.
I said it yesterday. It doesn't have to be a victory. It can be a victory without, quote, fleecing the other team. These people aren't that dumb. I mean, no one's going to just do something right to help you. And so here we go, and we'll watch this build to Brook Park and see if it all works out by then, because it's probably going to take that long. All right, we're going to come back. You'll hear from Andrew Berry on why now, and an unbelievably great day for a Blue Jacket. That's next. Roth.
We at The Fan have created a show where you can be a homer, a hater, or whatever you want to be. Sunday mornings at 8.
It's The Fan Call-In Show, presented by The Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Lots of sunshine today across central Ohio, with temperatures getting into the upper 70s and breezy winds. For tonight, skies will be mostly clear overnight as our lows get down into the 40s and 50s. And then as we get to the forecast for Wednesday, lots of sunshine and warmer as highs will get up around 80 degrees. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Bobby Carpenter demands that you watch Morning Juice on YouTube. If you don't, Tito will move into your house.
Live at 6 a.m. on YouTube and streaming on The Fan app.
The most wonderful people in the history of Western civilization. Rothman and Ice, 97.1 The Fan. It doesn't get any better than this.
All right, we'll do a little build up to the big award for Z coming up at 12:48. We'll have Sam Monson at 12:30. Check the Mike podcast, get his feeling. Maybe what we can do with Sam is get a little bit of an Ohio education on Jared Verse a little more, because it might make Browns fans. We've been trying to do it for 24 hours. Really, I don't know. Have. We've done our work on it.
I don't know. Like, if you were to told me that the guy that we just got was third in pressures over the last 2 years and the guys above him were Myles Garrett and Micah Parsons, that works
NFL
for me.
NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year, 25.
Correct.
Like, I said it yesterday. If you could take it, would it have made Browns fans feel any better if it was two firsts and no Verse? Probably, just because that's how fans think.
That's what
But if you snap your fingers and turn that one into a proven Defensive Rookie of the Year, you'd be stupid. And it's a very similar position.
I look at Verse as a one.
Of course you do.
That's
you
should, how I'm looking at it with another one.
Well, he was a one.
Correct. So to me, it is two ones and a two and a three. So we're all on board here. We like the return that they got. And I wanted to run this by you because we're going to be talking a lot about, like, you know, the tanking element and where they need to be in the draft and all of that. I actually think when it comes to who they're competing with, and one of those teams is obviously going to be the Jets. They have three first round picks. But I think of all the quarterbacks that are involved in this, I think Geno is probably the, if we had to bet on a guy to have the most solid season, between Geno, Deshaun, Shador, and whatever Arizona's going to roll out there, I'd probably bet on Geno to have the better year of the guys. And so he may actually hurt the Jets based off what they did in the draft and what they've done in the offseason. So I actually think that the Browns are headed down the right path, even though they just lost arguably the best player in the sport.
Remember about, maybe this was a week ago. TLC may be able to remember this better. On the fly, we were talking about 2027. And we had gone through this stuff about quarterbacks. And this, the big if is, if the Browns are in the quarterback market again next year, who would you want them to take? And before Miles got traded, they added another pick. It was very easy for people to say, oh, it's Julian Sain. And now we may actually put rubber to the road next year. Like, this may get very serious now for Browns fans to either go all in on their Buckeye, or would they rather have the guy he's going to be going up against either in the regular season or the playoffs or more? There may be a game this year in college football. Well, there will be a game now, Ohio State at Texas, but there may be an Oregon and Dante Moore. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get to see, perhaps, what the Browns are going to be looking at, which is the big, massive, high-leverage games of a quarterback that they may be forced to take next year or want to take.
And so it's also, too, because we're going to talk a lot about that Rams pick that they got in and where that's going to be. There's no doubt a world to where that could be the 32nd pick on the board, right, with how good the Rams
gonna have
look
to package
on paper. Yeah. And so what you got to hope is that, because the teams that are going to be picking in the top three next year that are going to be quarterback needy, they're not going to do business with you to move off of that. So you're going to have to hope that maybe a team, let's say like the Raiders, is a team that probably has their quarterback in the future. I don't think the Raiders are going to be very good this year with their combination of Kirk as an old quarterback and a rookie in year one. I just don't see that. So maybe the Raiders are in position to where you could do business with them. That's got to be the hope, because if you do,
why can't you just be really bad?
Well, all these scenarios, okay. I think.
Because they're winning six games for you, of course.
No, they're clearly, that's not happening.
Yeah, that's what I said. Earlier, AR, I agree with you.
I hope that happens.
That's best case scenario, is that you don't have to use that extra one. And I think that's in play now that 95 isn't there. But if you do have to use that, then let's say we are at the end of the road and there's a definitive 1-2, and let's just say for sake of conversation, it's Arch Manning and Dante Moore. And then we'll go to CJ Carr and Julian. You can probably get one of those guys, right? Because I think you'll be able to trade up with some of those teams. That's going to be the tough part, AR, is if they're not in that top three, then maybe life becomes a little bit more difficult to move. But Browns fans may feel good based off what we're going to see, to your point, throughout the year from some of these guys that are supposed to be really good under center.
Well, if the Raiders are bad, then they'll be in the top three again.
And they will
not take a quarterback.
And that's the team that you absolutely call and hope that you can move up.
But then, here's the issue. You could, depending on where the Browns would be, but the Raiders are going to want, if this goes quarterback, then the Raiders are going to want Jeremiah Smith.
Probably.
So they'd have to make sure that they could still get him.
Right.
Or maybe they get a ton to move off of the pick
and sacrifice
taking Jeremiah.
But for sure. I was just thinking of teams last night that possibly would be willing to move that already have their guy, and that was really only one of the teams that I was thinking about.
Tennessee might be bad.
Possibly.
Yeah. And they wouldn't take a quarterback.
Too. So there may be a couple of those out there, but like you asked
me. What about Atlanta?
They may be able to do this on their own.
How good will they be? They may.
Yeah. That's definitely in play.
The worst part of this entire deal is that I may have to go to dinner with Adam King and pay. Like, it might be bad enough just to go, but and
the
pay.
Paying too.
The pain is the hardest part.
Hyde Park too.
I don't know if it had. I think there's a little bit of loophole on that. I wonder if the loophole is that I get to choose now. Nothing like horrible, but you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, I think the winner of the bet, they get the pick.
He threw out the disclaimer like if they sign a quarterback or something, that bet would be void. But I don't get any help at all.
He said in the clip, and we have the audio.
I know.
And then you also have a round of golf based on how often Ohio State basketball is in. Is in the top 25 next year.
Yeah.
You had two bets.
I may go for two.
Making all type of bets.
Like,
what happens when I leave? Because when I leave, whoever's in this
show turns into a casino. Yeah, when like,
you and Scotty Vegas betting on the Masters top 50. Some controversy around that, and now controversy around you and AK.
But I think I'm going to pay him.
You'll pay up.
All right, Andrew Berry spoke. TLC, what's your headline bite here?
The biggest headline, why make the Garrett trade now?
The opportunity was too great. It wasn't something, it wasn't like a plan A going into the offseason. Quite honestly, we would have operated differently if it was. Sometimes things come across your path that you're not expecting. And you can't be so dogmatic in your strategy and planning that you can't adjust and be flexible to great opportunities.
Dogmatic.
I agree.
Yeah, it's a little much. Listen, I've got no problem with him being flexible, but I'm going to call BS on that this suddenly landed on my plate and I had to respond.
These type of deals don't just happen in the blink of an eye. Like Andrew
Berry,
when
did Miles come to you and say he was open to being traded again?
Andrew Berry and Les Snead didn't wake up yesterday and just say, hey, you know what? Let's do this right now. This has been brewing for a while. This has been brewing for a long time. It just when you have the player of his caliber, that being Miles, like there's just so much to unpack. And by the sounds of it, on the Rams side of things, they were pretty dug in on not wanting Jared Verse. And on the Brown side of things, Andrew Berry was saying, well, the deal's not getting done without Jared Verse in it. So that should let you know how both parties view him as a player. The team that's letting him go and the team that's acquiring him view him as a very, very good player and will be for a long time in this league.
The cool part about the trade, I think, for the Rams, and this is where, as much as I think that we were on the scent, I was really thrown off with the Simpson pick, and that should have been a red flag, too. But I was dragged into the, well, Matt Stafford's, 38, and he's been in and out of retirement in his mind, and maybe they just want to be ready, and they like the kid, and they didn't think they'd get him later. But when they did that, it should have made me think, although maybe they thought that their team is a contender even without Myles Garrett, which they are. If the Rams never make this trade, they're still a Super Bowl contender.
No question.
So maybe that was my thought process, was that, okay, so they didn't improve the team to help Stafford this year, but they still feel like they're good and they have one foot in the future.
Speaking of the future, I think there's a little risk too baked into this future, right? Because if Ty Simpson is the guy, we now know they've given up some very valuable draft capital when it looks like he could be the guy, right? So let's say Stafford retires after this year. You've given up your one next year. You gave up your two your year after that and your three. And so this is a team that obviously is all in. But when we get to those years, I wonder how they're going to feel about these decisions. They probably won't care if Ty Simpson is a dude, because that's what it's all about, and you'll deal with that as long as you have a franchise quarterback. But there's some risk baked into this as well for the Rams, and especially where they're going into an offseason after this year, to where Puka, Byron Young, Kobe Turner, some young guys are all going to be free agents, and they're going to have to pay up big for those guys as well.
The other interesting part about this trade, and we'll ask Sam Monson about it, whether he's read the same thing I have, which is that the Rams were looking at this well before Jared Verse was ever a Ram, that they've wanted Miles for 4 years, it feels like.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. That's in 2 minutes. Sam will join us. Rothman and Ice.
Today, Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
True to his name, Matty Ice wears a winter coat in the middle of summer. He lives the gimmick, man. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
The blockbuster. Garrett, come out to the coast. Have a few laughs. Maybe a championship. He never wanted to go from Cleveland to Canton. He doesn't have to now. But we thought after he signed the mega extension that he was going to put a happy face on the deal. And then the coaching thing happened. And then the Jim Schwartz stuff. And I don't know, Sam, I want to get your opinion on this. I appreciate your knowledge and insight. I asked my fine co-host, Matty Ice, the same question. If Jim Schwartz is the head coach right now, does he still want out this badly?
Probably not. I do think that the Jim Schwartz thing is a big variable in all this. Obviously, that defense has been pretty spectacular under him the last couple of years, and the way that that whole thing went down probably definitely moved this in that direction. But I also think, the lack of quarterbacks available this offseason, the lack of the players that they probably expected to be there in the draft, I think changed timelines for everybody. I think that made Andrew Berry and the organization start thinking about this differently as well.
Sam, let's get into the Jared verse of it all, because AR and I have been trying to make Browns fans feel good as we can, they can, about this, right? You lose Myles Garrett, that's never going to be the greatest thing to celebrate, but the player that they got in return, we like his potential, what we think he can be down the line. Paint the picture of the player that he is now and what you think he will be for Cleveland in the foreseeable future.
I think Jared Verse is a great player. I think getting him back is a real coup in this trade. I mean, obviously, anytime you're trading away Myles Garrett, it's not good. You know, you can argue he's the best player in the NFL, period. So it's a downgrade that he's no longer on the roster. But if you're going to trade him away, getting a guy like Jared Verse back in as part of the deal is as good as you're going to get. I mean, he is a very good pass rusher in his own right. He is a power player. I mean, he hits players and they are, it's different. You know, you hear offensive linemen talk about the level of power and violence that he brings to the table. It stands out even in a league where everybody is a giant freak athlete. So, you know, he's a guy that will get a ton of pressure. He's an impactful player against the run as well. He's a very, very good pass rusher who, you know, probably doesn't have the Myles Garrett ceiling, but nobody does. You know, this is the best player in football. You're not recreating that in a player. You're getting a different player who's not at that same level, but you're adding, you know, first round draft pick. You're adding draft picks on top of that as well.
Sam, do you believe that this has been an ongoing thing for years, that the Rams really wanted Myles Garrett and they've been calling the Browns for like 4 years, even before Jared Verse existed in the NFL?
No, I think the Browns threw the bat signal in the air when they adjusted his contract. I don't think that the Rams had probably even considered it before that happened. And suddenly when they make that adjustment to his contract earlier in this offseason, then they start to go, okay, number one, that potentially signals that the Browns are open to trading him, even though they were denying it publicly at the time. But number two, it makes him more tradable. Like, the only reason to do that was to make him more tradable. And suddenly it becomes something that they can start kicking around internally and, you know, project out and model and figure out how that would affect the roster, not just right now, but in the next sort of 2-3 years from a salary cap and flexibility standpoint. And that's when they started to figure out if this was doable.
Sam, do you think that Andrew Berry right now should be thinking about trying to move Denzel Ward as well?
Not necessarily. Look, I think Myles Garrett was a unique commodity because of his age. You know, he's arguably the best player in the game, but he's reaching that age now where you've got to start wondering how many years at that level does he have left, and when is that going to sync up with the quarterback, right? With realistically, the next time this team is going to be good, because that depends on the quarterback. So, you know, I think last year, I think it was sort of generally speaking shrewd business to be like, look, we'll trade down, we'll let the Jags get Travis Hunter, we'll get Mason Graham, we'll get picks for next year, we'll take a couple of swings at quarterback that, you know, we don't really believe are going to be the future. That's why they're third and a fifth round draft pick respectively, but we'll roll the dice, and if one of them surprises, great. If not, we're positioned for 2026, we've got multiple first round draft picks, and we'll get our quarterback this year. And then all the quarterbacks just evaporated, you know, and it became Fernando Mendoza and basically nobody else, unless you believed in Ty Simpson. And that, I think, changed things for this team. I think at that point, they started to think, okay, Myles Garrett now, given his age, you know, is this going to match when we have a quarterback? If we have to wait till 2027 to get our next guy, he might not be at that kind of level until 2028. You know, it might never match at this point. And I think that's what made them start thinking, are we better off trying to cash in right now on Myles Garrett, you know, get all these first round draft or get all these draft picks back, try and get a guy like Jared Verse back in the deal as well, and that makes the timetable make more sense for everybody.
He's Sam Monson. Check the Mic podcast here on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Sam, is it interesting to think about what if the Browns would have said no? And how much of a problem Myles Garrett made that for them, or whether he just would put his head down and go to work?
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting element in all this. I do wonder, particularly for a guy like Myles Garrett, who's, you know, spent his career now in this situation of rarely being in real contention to win anything, and all of a sudden the alternative option for him on the table is you go to literally the Super Bowl favorite. You know, you walk out of a team that's not expected to be particularly good this year, and you get to step on a roster that is the favorite of every NFL team to go and win a championship this year. I mean, that has to be incredibly appealing for somebody like Myles Garrett. I think that's probably, who knows how much of a problem he would have made it if they tried to turn down the trade.
Zooming out from Miles, but just looking at the Browns, Sam, and what Andrew Berry has been building over the last two off seasons, when you look at the draft class with Fannin and Schlessinger and what they have on paper right now with how they've addressed the offensive line in the new draft class, how are you feeling about what they're building at the moment with the young core?
Yeah, I do think generally this team is doing a lot of good things. On our podcast, you know, Steve Palazzolo, my co-host, keeps saying Andrew Berry, other than making, you know, the single worst personnel move in NFL history in bringing over Deshaun Watson, has done a really good job as general manager. And as kind of glib and funny as that, I think it's generally true. I mean, this team has done a lot of good things directionally. It's just that none of it matters yet until you find the quarterback. And maybe that's a rejuvenated Deshaun Watson this year under Todd Monken. Maybe Shedeur Sanders wins the job. Maybe Taylen Green surprises. Or maybe it is a quarterback for 2027. But, you know, this is a team now that's got an overhauled receiving core. They've added those two talented draft picks in Denzel Boston and Casey Concepcion. They had a lot of work to do on the offensive line. They certainly attack that this offseason. I think there's probably still more work to be done there long term, but given where they were, I think they've done a good job assembling an offensive line. And then the defense from a personnel standpoint is still in good shape, even with trading away Myles Garrett. And obviously that makes them worse, but Jared Verse is that fantastic kind of consolation prize. And then you again have assembled extra draft picks to work with. So I do think that directionally this team is moving in the right direction. It's just they do need this answer at quarterback at some point.
Where were you on the Rams for this season before the trade, and where are you now?
Yeah, I think you could argue they had the best roster in the NFL already, and they just added Myles Garrett to it. So I think they should be the Super Bowl favorite at this point. I think they were, you know, a coin flip with Seattle away from that a year ago. Those two teams were the best teams in the NFL, in my opinion. Whoever won the NFC Championship game was going to win the Super Bowl. And I think they've had a better offseason than the Seahawks. They added Trent McDuffie already to what was the weakest point on that roster. And then they just added Myles Garrett as a cherry on top. So, yeah, this is a team that should be looking at themselves as Super Bowl favorites.
Real quick, Sam, we got 1 minute. What are your thoughts on how Todd Monken should approach this quarterback situation up in Cleveland?
I mean, Monken's not tied to anybody, so let's give as much of an open competition as you can make in today's training camp situations with, you know, restrictions on number of snaps and reps to go around, and just see who stands out. I don't think he's tied to anybody, so let's have the best person show himself and win that job.
My man, good stuff. Appreciate you jumping on short notice. Thanks for this.
Anytime, guys. Take it easy.
It's our friend Sam Monson. Check the Mic podcast on the Bryant Heat and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. If he says no, Barry says he's too generational. My fan base will hate me. They'll storm the gate. I can't get rid of 95. After he signed the contract extension, thousands of Browns fans went out and bought brand new jerseys.
95.
If they say no, does Myles Garrett make a peep? Does he hold out? Does he force their hand? Does he turn this into a hardball thing?
I wouldn't be surprised if we would have gotten a mandatory minicamp, I believe, what, next week?
Do we get another letter?
And he, I don't think he would have been there.
Letter.
No, yeah. I think he was done, man. I think he was just done. And I think this was the time to pull the plug. And these are never easy decisions to make, whether you're a GM or never easy decisions to consume if you're a fan. But I think you got to feel decent right now as a Browns fan about where this could be in the next couple of years if you find the quarterback.
They'll have two first-round picks to make in a class that a lot of people believe has multiple NFL prospects worthy of coming off near the top. All right, Zach Werenski gets the surprise of a lifetime, perhaps. We'll talk about it next. Rothman
1800.
The Reds are on the Fan's family of stations all season long. If you don't listen, Terry Francona will ride his scooter to your house and yell at you. Your home of the Reds. The Fan. The Fan 2 and the Fan 3. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. No one funks up the work microwave like these two. Fish again? You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, I don't know if you guys saw the video where Zach had, they had a barbecue at Zach's house.
So well done.
And well invited, was it the NHL Network? They were doing a behind the scenes, may have been new father. They duped him into thinking it was going to be a feature. Mom and dad are going to be there. Brother will be there.
By the way, his dad, I feel like, man, could be a security guard if you need him to be. Like, you could see that his dad's about that action. Like, his dad is probably still in the weight room getting it in. Like, it honestly, if you're a Jackie fan listening to what AR was just describing and you have not seen the video, we can have TLC tweet it out from our show page. The NHL threw it out there about an hour ago. It's very heartwarming, to say the least, because we've had the pleasure of having Z on for a few years now on Hockey and Hounds, and we know him pretty well. And I know you've got a really good relationship with him, but just having the ability to talk to a guy that's super genuine and just really goes out there and just balls at a high level and doesn't really care about this type of stuff. Like, he's not going to make it known publicly that he's all in on these things. Like, he's not that. He's a team guy, and he's a great leader. And so to see him have that moment with his wife, his brother's family, and all that, I couldn't have been happier for him. So absolutely check out that video if you're a Jacket fan. It's well worth your time.
I'm not sure. You may have, maybe you knew or maybe you just thought this, but his dad was a police officer for 30-plus years.
There it is. Makes sense. He looks the part. He looks like a guy you don't want to mess around with. That's for sure.
I'm sure Zach fell into line pretty much in his childhood. I don't think I've ever asked him that about how disciplined his childhood was.
I can see it. You can see it. And I think his brother in the video mentions that he had just had a baby as well. Mm-hmm. And that his wife is still in the hospital and allowed him to leave the hospital so he could share this moment with his brother and his family.
Yeah. So, all right. So, if you're just listening, Zach has come close to winning the Norris Trophy, which is for the best defenseman in the league. He was second, I think, to Makar
last year, right?
2 years ago.
Last year.
That's right. And it was his turn. And it's not. Sometimes this is so splitting of hairs, because any of these guys would have been worthy of it. He, Makar, Bouchard, like, there are guys that certainly do a lot, but I think he probably set the groundwork for this last year. Like, I feel like, and I don't like giving out awards to guys cumulatively. I don't. It's an award for this season.
It shouldn't matter, though, to your point.
But there was some buildup to this. And what he's meant to his team, 200-foot player, great offensive defenseman, smooth, fluid, strong on the puck, great reads, always stepping up into play, tough, plays injured. Like, there's just so much of what he does that feeds into this award. Great hockey IQ. Like, he's just that guy. And so all these guys, like I said, are very worth it, or worthy of it. But so I guess they made the arrangements for the big trophy to be at the house, and he's doing this interview, and his dad has the trophy. I believe it was, maybe it wasn't,
so
his dad.
There was a guy that I think is with the NHL. He brings it out of like a trunk, and the other guy that's interviewing Z thinks this is about players that are new dads.
Right.
I think that's how they frame this, how they kind of trick Z into this. And so Z standing by the pool, his back is turned to the house, and here comes the representative from the NHL from around the front side of the house with the trophy, and they surprise him, and he's obviously pleased by it, and his dad grabs a hold of it, and everybody's celebrating. It's what it's all about. Like, it's as good as it gets. Right there. And to see ZAR, look at the names that are on the trophy and soak that in and realize the elite company that he's in, like, that is really, really cool, right? Because you bust your tail as a player and at a specific position. I'm sure you grow up idolizing a lot of the names that are on that trophy. And to see your name in the same class as those guys, man, is, that's incredible.
It's the first Blue Jacket. That's another massive thing.
Absolutely.
For the organization.
Yep.
And so to see, and Makar won it last year, and Hughes won it the year before. I'm like, Makar's won it twice. But it's one of those awards, and I agree with you, and I think it's a great point to see Bobby Orr and Ray Bourque and guys that are on that list, just almost folklorish names maybe as a kid, when you thought of even putting on skates and playing the game, and now your name is side by side with them. Mm-hmm. That's a great point, because it's one of those things that now you're immortalized in a way.
Yeah.
That you were the best at your position in this league for this season. Now, he would probably be the first to admit that it rings hollow when it doesn't come with a playoff trip. And I'm sure, and some guys you can believe and some guys you don't. But I would believe him if he would say, if I would ask him, would you have traded it for a playoff trip and a chance to go after something? I think he would have said, yeah. It's not a good trade because he earned this.
Yeah.
So you never want to give up something that you earned and deserved. But it does go to your point about team. And he got the ultimate team feel this year, assisting on a golden goal in the Olympics and beating Canada. There is nothing more immortalized than that. That not only were you on the team that won gold, but you were part of the last play that ended it.
And it's a great point, AR.
It's a heck of a season.
Yeah.
So maybe the Olympic gold would have softened the blow on not making the playoffs, but this is his team.
Yeah.
Team USA and the Blue Jackets are completely different. And he's had quite a
How about that,
quite a
man.
Year.
I love that you brought that up, because it was, you know, we just move on from things so fast and we're on to the next thing, but that highlight's going to live on forever and ever and ever. Mm. For when we're gone, when Z's gone, like, that highlight means so much to USA Hockey and who they were going up against in that moment. In fact, that he was right there in the middle of that.
The amount of years between.
No question, right? And then you circle around and you win this award as well within kind of the same hockey calendar, if you will. The voting, it wasn't very close. First place votes for Z, he got 113.
Okay.
Makar got 47. So Z was the guy.
I'm a little surprised that it was that much of a landslide, because I looked at some of these guys, and I mean, we could probably look at Bouchard's.
He got 12 first place votes.
Yeah.
Bouchard did.
I mean, it's Makar had a horrible start to the year and probably had to chase it a little bit, but Zach has been as consistent as anybody the last couple of years, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
He averages, the last couple of years, he's averaged almost 27 minutes of ice time a game. But I'm just looking at his numbers from the last, you probably could add 23 if you wanted to, but just the last 2 years, 23 goals, 59 assists, 82 points. This year, 22 goals, 59 points, 81 points, 59 assists. So his ice time is almost exactly the same. It's 8 seconds different. So he, like I said, he plays hurt. He does whatever he can 200 feet for this team. And I thought it was more difficult than what you just read. I thought it'd be more difficult for the voters.
Closer, yeah.
But it was his turn. He's so good.
Mm-hmm.
So this wasn't, I want to make it very clear. They didn't give him this because they felt like, okay, we got to give it to somebody different, or it's his turn.
You used the word. He earned it, AR.
He earned it.
Yeah,
and it's one of those things that it was a close race, but he was right there last year, and he is an absolute force for the Jackets.
Yep.
And last year probably mattered. No complaints, especially not here. But congratulations to Zach Werenski for being named the top NHL defenseman for 25-26. We'll come back top of the hour. We'll get back into a little bit of the Browns in the division and how it impacts things. Should we buy one ticket to Tankville? That's next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
T-Bone and Tybus are everything you want in a delicious breakfast. Lots of empty calories, no nutritional value.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
Hey, what's up? It's Live Better.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. Blue Jackets defenseman Zach Werenski will need more room in his trophy case. In a year where he assisted the golden goal for Team USA to win gold in Milan and became a first-time father, Werenski has a new addition to his resume, 2026 Norris Trophy winner. The 28-year-old was named the NHL's top defenseman today after a team-high 22 goals and 59 assists for 81 points, leading league blue liners in multi-point games, even strength goals, and shots on goal. He's the first-ever Blue Jacket to win the Norris Trophy. Golf's second day of practice rounds continue today for the Memorial Tournament. The annual Golden Bear Pro-Am starts Wednesday morning with top-ranked two-time defending champ Scottie Scheffler among those to tee off at 7 a.m. This update sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Take a vacation from high interest rates with special rates on balance transfers at BMI Federal Credit Union, BMIFCU.org/consolidate.
Anthony's tennis shorts were so tight, they had to pixelate his crotch. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
I'm curious if anybody asked Andrew Barry today about whether he's done. I know it's all been about Miles and all, and then I think he was asked about the quarterback, and he's, oh, it's way too premature to start thinking of 2027, and that's the right answer. You cannot undermine the two guys you have and your new head coach by saying, ah, we got one eye on the draft in 27.
Hey, you know what? I like Dylan still. You know, I'm a Dylan Gabriel guy. Now, you're right. You can't mess around with any of that stuff. I had forgotten that. And now every time I see Andrew Barry, or I think about him being an identical twin. You knew that,
wait,
right?
Wait, the wrong one made the trade?
Maybe, but Andrew Barry has a brother that works for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Somewhere with duct tape? Somewhere?
But that, I found that out about 3 weeks ago. I didn't know that because when the Eagles announced that they had hired Andrew Barry's brother, and I saw the press release, I'm like,
his little brother?
Is this some type of joke that the Eagles and the Browns are trying to get us here? But no, he actually has an identical twin brother.
Did not know that.
And his name I'm forgetting, but I will find that for you
guys. It's got to be an A, right?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Do parents do that?
That's a good question. I'm going to guess Aaron.
Yeah, I was going to say. Okay. My guess is it's identical twin. They probably used the same letter. I would have no clue.
Okay, so we've got Aaron. We've got Aaron on the board for one guess. AR, your guess is?
If his name actually is Aaron, I'm going to say I probably heard it before and just forgot that I knew it.
Thinking of popular, how old?
Ooh, are the Barry twins?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I can't imagine their
most popular baby name's 1984, Brundon.
Early 40s?
Give me a sec.
I thought you were.
Look at most popular baby names, 1984, Brundon.
Is your name Brandon? No, it's Brundon. What year was he born?
It's Brundon. Excuse me? Brundon. Brundon.
I've got the
What year were they born?
I've got the Barry twins.
Third time's a charm.
Coming into planet Earth at 1987.
Oh, almost. We almost hit it.
Wow, we almost got it. Brundon Barry.
I thought I was going to be close. All right. So the most popular baby names of 1987, Andrew is up there, top six.
Okay.
Let me see if I can find Anthony, 17.
Anferny.
Anferny is not on the list. All right, this was going to be my guess. You, by the way, Aaron is 34.
Okay, so I'm in the top.
That's 34. I'm sorry. Adam comes in at 27. All right. This was going to be my pick before I even looked at this. My pick was Alexander at 37. Andrew is kind of a little, it's okay. It's a little preppy.
Yeah.
It's, I just think he's got a level of sophistication. I think Alexander, you like that name.
It's my middle name.
That's right. So I'm going to go. Let me see if there are any other A's. Alex is, well, for short, 60. Antonio, no. Austin, no. That's Antonio 76. Austin Berry. That would be pretty good.
Antoine Berry.
Yeah, that works too.
Joe Berry Carroll. I don't know why I said that. All right, let's go with Alexander for me.
Okay, so we got Alexander and we got Aaron. Andrew Berry's twin brother. His name is Adam Berry.
Mm, we were on, by the way, on the right case. Had to be an A.
Yeah.
And what's most popular. And Adam came in as, so it went in 1987, the most popular baby names with A were Andrew, Anthony, Adam.
So Adam Berry is now the assistant general manager for the Philadelphia Eagles. If they would have done business, would have that been collusion?
Mm.
Would we have to have, could the twin brothers do business at that level? Would that have been, that would be Howie Roseman, I guess, so he wouldn't have really been in the spotlight, but I mean, that would have been interesting.
Probably knew exactly what his brother was thinking anyway.
Probably telepathy.
They're probably finishing each other's sentences. But my first question, I think, is valid. Is he done? Because the Garrett deal kind of tells all of us that, because they weren't going to do this, and then they did the opposite. Tanking is hard. But it's not that hard when you're not that good.
And you just have to hope when you're trying to tank that Max Crosby is not on your roster. Because when the Raiders tried to get him to tank and sit out those last couple games, along with Brock Bowers, by the way, Max Crosby wasn't having any of that. And so there was a team right before our eyes that tried to organize or orchestrate a tank, and it worked in their favor because they got the 1-1 and they got Fernando Mendoza. But to answer your question, I'd have a serious conversation with my scouting department and ownership about Denzel Ward. I would.
So Matty Ice walks into that room and says, guys, Matty Ice is here. And I have one question for all of us. What do we have to do to finish 2-15 this year? How can we do it?
Getting rid of an incredible player in Denzel Ward.
Now, that's one way to get there. We did get Jared Verse back.
Uh-huh.
We'd have to tell him to slow his roll. We don't need you to be Myles Garrett 2.0 just yet. So after the Garrett trade, Cleveland was a hard no on moving Denzel Ward. How much do we believe that?
He just turned 29 at the end of April. Denzel Ward did.
Andrew Berry told us not that long ago that Myles Garrett was going to be a, quote, career Brown.
He did. He did.
So we cannot believe this.
No, we can't. We can't. So that's one guy on their roster that I would think about moving that I think could get you back some pretty good draft capital.
Corner market is hot. So hot.
He's got it. The tough part is he does have the concussion history, so that's going to be a tough thing to sell to a team if you're really going to try to squeeze them for high-end draft capital. But guys that have value on their team, if you want to go down this path, he's no doubt one of those guys.
He's unfortunately at an age now that when they're good, if they're good, it's going to be passed.
So that tells you.
So I'd put him on the list.
Here's the audio that
I think it's probably most appropriate for Denzel to speak for himself. Number two, Denzel's been great throughout the offseason. His communication's been good. He's a big part of the team. We like him a lot. He's still playing at a really high level. That doesn't change with this transaction.
Did the tone of voice switch up when he said, he's a big part of the team? Tell you anything.
Play it again?
Because I can't help but feel like in his mind's different than what his words are saying.
I think it's probably most appropriate for Denzel to speak for himself. Number two, Denzel's been great throughout the offseason. His communication's been good. He's a big part of the team. We like him a lot. He's still playing at a really high level. That doesn't change with this transaction.
He's a big part of the team.
I guess there was a change of tone there.
Yeah.
I guess it's not hitting me that way, TLC, that maybe he's capping just a little
bit. It's softer, Matty, than even the Garrett responses over the months.
Yeah.
Like, that's even softer.
It's just very vague, too. Like, I almost,
everything's in play.
Yeah, everything's in play. I'll let Denzel speak for himself and all of that. They did not select a cornerback in the draft this year.
But if you're trying to tank,
yeah,
that's the way to do it.
Yeah, especially
you can save another $17, $20 million, trade him away.
I think you brought up a really good point, too, AR, with where he is with his age.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, his timeline doesn't match what I believe their new timeline is. This is going to be a young team that's building things out over the next 3 years. And if you could get, I don't know, maybe a 2 or 3 or something like that in return for Denzel Ward, I would do it.
How about doing what they did with the Verse deal? The Verse deal, they got picks, but they got a young player. Why wouldn't you move Denzel Ward for a young corner and a pick?
If it aligns that way, if you can get, you know, that player, you know, then I would be on board with that. But if this is turns into you could add to your draft capital for next year to help you maybe move around, then they should do that.
I want to be clear. I don't think this is a complete garage sale. I don't get it. If it was, I said this yesterday. I think you partially agreed with me, but maybe not. I think if this was a complete liquidation sale, everything must go. They probably maybe try to just get as many first rounders as possible and don't bring Jared Verse back. Now, the reason I could talk myself out of that is because of Verse's age and what he's proven already. That if they have a plan to be good in the next 3 years, that he would be a big part of that. So I probably talked myself off of that, but I think Ward is in play. I mean,
Malik Collins is a good player for them. I don't know.
The defensive tackle.
Yeah, I don't know how much he's bringing back, though, but he's one of those players that I think could be attractive to a team that thinks
they're
close. Yeah, he was, but I'm just thinking what he's been playing, he's been good. So maybe you can tempt a team that, you know, thinks they're a piece or two away to bring him in and maybe get something there.
I agree with that also because of his age.
Yeah.
He's got a little injury history, and he's north of 30, and those are the guys that probably you wouldn't want helping this team.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going into the final year of his deal.
Yeah, I'm all in on trading Denzel Ward at this point. It just doesn't make sense for him to be on this specific roster right now anymore.
You'd save a lot of money. Maybe you could get a young corner that's promising and a day two pick, and it would probably be what you should do. All right, we're going to come back, and we'll hit some of the odds and what the Rams have done to Las Vegas here. Rothman.
Have you ever met a man who wins money betting on tennis? Enter Scotty Vegas. Join Scotty and Dave Biddle for On the Money.
Presented by Ohio for Responsible Gambling.
Sunday mornings at 9 on The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Lots of sunshine today across central Ohio with temperatures getting into the upper 70s and breezy winds. For tonight, skies will be mostly clear overnight as our lows get down into the 40s and 50s. And then as we get to the forecast for Wednesday, lots of sunshine and warmer as highs will get up around 80 degrees. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with a 10 weather impact forecast.
We've been your Jackets flagship station since day one. All the goals, all the action, all the memories. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets, The Fan, Ohio sports destination. There's nothing like ripping off your pants and enjoying some lobster bisque. This is Rothman and Ice.
All right, 1:30. We'll check in with former Blue Jacket head coach Brad Larson. Lars will join us. We'll preview the Stanley Cup Final, which starts tonight in Raleigh. Torts in Vegas, going up against the Canes. I'm telling you, this thing is going to be a war. Like, this is... Carolina doesn't give you a whole lot. Neither does Vegas. They both are very tight defensively. Look at the way they smothered Carolina. It smothered Montreal. And they finally ran out of gas. They suffocated them, snuffed them out. And Vegas, just as Torts always says, finds a way. Like, they just do. And they've got a lot on that roster. Make no mistake, they're no Cinderella, truly.
Mm-hmm.
And they were leaking a lot of oil at the end of the year, and he had to rescue that thing. And he has pushed the right buttons and gotten some really good goaltending, timely goals. And when they came back down 3-0 and won a game, like, they just will not go away. They're physical. They're not as fast. They beat a couple of fast, skilled, younger teams in Utah and Anaheim. And now they're going up. I think this is what we were supposed to get, honestly.
It's very rare for me that I watch a sporting event and I'm pulling for a coach. This will be one of those situations, rare situations for
me. You've probably rooted against coaches.
But actively cheering for a coach, that's going to be me starting tonight for Torts. I want him to get this, man. I want him to accomplish this in this way. Because it's such a wild story when you really think about it. When Vegas made this move with, what, 8 games left, 10 games left, whatever that was.
Yeah.
Called up old Torts and said, hey, we need you, big fella. Come on in. Come get this back in order. And he's done that and then some. So obviously the players had to do their part, but you can't help but ignore that since Torts arrived, this thing really got locked in and those guys really started to take their game to a high level. And so, yeah, the Stanley Cup final is always awesome. But the fact that for me personally, I can be emotionally invested in this because of a guy that we talked to for years and a guy that I had a chance to meet. Yeah, I'm in on that. I'm pulling for Torts on this one.
Yeah. Took a leap of faith.
Yeah, man.
He's a lifer. Loves to coach.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there are a lot of people that would think that, you know, he's not perfect for every team or every roster, but he has found a way to coach this team and on the fly and tap into something. And even though they have a very good roster, I think it's been a little undersold about how successful they've been.
It's a lot of pressure to step into, too.
Yeah.
Because of what you just mentioned,
to save
right?
a season.
There was an expectation, I'm sure,
there
when
was.
The ownership and the GMs and everybody put this team together to think, well, this is what we probably should be or where we should be as a team.
That's right.
They felt like they weren't doing that. So you step into that situation as a coach and say, well, yeah, there's some really good players that I have to work with, but there are expectations that I probably should be meeting. Yeah. And I think he's done that.
It's a great story, and it's vintage Torts because I've been watching all the because now he's doing all the media.
And he has,
he has to.
He has to.
And he's shutting down everybody. Like a couple of press conferences ago after a practice or after a skate, somebody wanted to ask him again about his journey and the fact that it's been 20 some odd years since he coached for the Cup. And he's like, that's it. No more.
That's no part of that.
No more questions. I'm not answering anything about Tampa. And I'm not answering. No more nostalgic questions.
Yeah.
It's done. That's it. And he also said, no questions about Carolina. Only his team.
That's interesting.
Task at hand.
That's interesting.
He is shutting out every last bit of just...
I think he's trying to set a tone of this is a singular focus of what we are as a team and what we're going to do.
No question.
Is about us and not about anybody else.
We'll ask Lars that.
Yeah, for sure.
He's been in the... Yeah. He's
the psyche
side
of a
by
coach.
Side with him.
Yeah, and why he may be playing that card.
All right, that'll be in about 8 minutes. So I went to yesterday. I looked at Maddie during the show after the Myles Garrett trade, and then after we had Adam King on, already basically ordering his meal
and also
off the dinner,
getting Jason Day's take on the Myles Garrett
Jason Day's
trade, which was hilarious. I had a friend of mine that texted me and said that was one of the funniest parts of yesterday's show was that. And I texted Adam. I said that was really good stuff because
really?
It was we'll play it again, TLC.
Really.
Oh, that's it? Yeah. Oh, that was Adam going, really?
No, that was Jason Day.
Oh, that was Jason.
He said, hey, Myles Garrett just got traded.
Really?
Oh, it'd be great if we just... It can't be, mate. All right, so I looked at Maddie yesterday and I said, all right, for some reason, I can still bet the Browns under 6.5 wins. Now, there was a lot of juice attached to it. It was -150.
Mm-hmm.
But at that point... That would have been a great hedge for me. Grab that under immediately.
Let me ask you this. Why do you want them to win 6 or more games?
To win the bet. Let me go back a second. It's not necessarily that I wanted them to win before I made the bet.
Okay.
I felt they could, and I felt they should.
You.
And when he said that they're no better this year, I put all my eggs into the schedule basket, the lack of travel. I just felt analytically that if they're worse than last year with this schedule, something would be very wrong. And I know you can't predict that stuff. So
I didn't go all in on the Browns being great.
Have you moved off
I went off all
of,
in on them being one win better than horrible.
Have you moved off of should now, post-trade?
Yeah, yeah, probably.
Okay.
I mean, he can wreck some games. You have to devote a lot to blocking him. Like, even if he doesn't get to you, you're always aware of him.
As
like
the Steelers.
Yeah.
When they were running from the record that game.
Yeah, they were.
Ball
he, was he, did, he didn't get him, though.
He I didn't. Mean, they were loading up
Aaron
with
doesn't
want to
be in that highlight.
No, absolutely not. I mean, they're going 12, 13.
You want to pull a Brett Favre.
Personnel, massive. I mean, Aaron Rodgers was getting the ball out quick all season long. Like, at this age, he's just old. Obviously,
why would he want to get hit anyway, right?
But in that game, you don't want to be a part of that highlight. Like, I get it. Like, if you're Aaron Rodgers, you don't want to be a part of that. But
you also
man,
don't want to get hit by him.
The denial from the Steelers coming out of that, I thought was funny. Because watching the game, it was pretty obvious what the game plan was.
Which yeah, is but, like, we're not going to let him tee off. That would have been a football
right,
game plan anyway.
But
Pittsburgh was getting accused of sabotaging their own game to make sure they weren't part of the record. And I disagreed with that. People that are accusing Pittsburgh of saying that the only thing today that's important to us is making sure that Myles Garrett doesn't get a sack.
It
and
did,
I think that was...
It felt a little overly dramatic, though, the way that they were doing it. That's all.
All right, I can that's, buy into part of that maybe you don't. So you don't think he would have attracted that amount of attention if the record wasn't on the line?
No, not that way. I just remember watching that game and
okay.
I thought this was a little much.
I'd have to rewatch it. That and see. But my point in all this over under stuff is, I went back today and said, "All right, I better rescue this bet and bet the Browns under just to have a hedge." So, and guess what? Off the board. Can't do it.
Yeah.
So either they got messed up yesterday by taking in way too much money on the under, and now they're scrambling, or they don't even think the Browns are done.
I did see like the Myles Garrett effect when it comes to the Rams and their Super Bowl odds. Excuse me. At some books, that was going from like plus 800 to plus 600. And so there was massive movement. I don't know if that's massive. Maybe that's a bit extra, but decent enough movement for the Rams as far as you mentioned it earlier, without Myles Garrett in the eyes of some, and I think a lot of people, that the Rams were a Super Bowl contender. Now Vegas definitely views it that way with after the Myles Garrett thing. When it comes to the Browns, I think anybody's really going to be sitting here thinking they're winning the division this year. I just don't think they need to get in the ballpark at all of six or more wins at all.
It's interesting to me, if you just look at it from a gambling standpoint, that what you said, which is them going from plus 800 to plus 600, that's not much. Like, that's like less than 5% in my mind. I think what's odd to me, and maybe this is the NFL and there's so much parity, is that even as an overwhelming favorite, the Rams are viewed as probably a 15% implied that they're going to win it all.
It's,
like, they're the betting favorite,
yeah.
But that doesn't make them somehow indestructible. Like, there's way too much parity in this league, and it's not a series, it's a one gamer, and then just getting there is hard, and then if you get there and then the health concerns, and that's what I've said on the show for 15 years. I've said that Las Vegas is not in the business of telling you what's going to happen. Vegas has built hotel after hotel after hotel on knowing that something is going to happen this season that we're not thinking about right now.
And also, they're in a pretty tough division as well. Having to see the Niners and the champs a couple of times.
That's right.
It's no guarantee that they're going to win the division, let alone be the one seed in the NFC this year. So, yeah, while yes, we can look at their roster and say, absolutely, they should be doing this and doing that. We've said that a ton in sports, and things happen, right? Guys don't live up to expectations. You got an aging quarterback. He gets banged up, whatever it may be. That the Rams are going to have to earn it, but their pathway as far as dudes go on a roster, yeah, it seems a little smoother than a lot of other teams right now, what they have available, which is high-end elite talent.
Puck drops tonight on maybe the toughest championship to win in sports. Brad Larson joins us to break it down, and you will be ready after you hear this. Rothman and
Outcome.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Their live golf team name is Ice Dogs. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Puck drops tonight, 8 o'clock, a little bit after that in Raleigh.
Torts against the Canes. It's going to be a beauty. It's going to be a knockdown dragout. I know that. Coach Lars will be watching. Brad Larson, after he picks out his summer Speedo, he will also be watching the event tonight as well. Are you ready for the season, my man?
Oh, yeah. You're a water slide today. Yeah, good time. Good time. It's a little breezy out here. I'm not going to lie to you. Yeah, I wish it was 90, but you know what? We're getting through. It's a good day.
Is there a Canadian flag on that Speedo?
You know what? I'm going to plead the fifth. We're going to move on from this right now. I don't think we're going in the right direction.
All right, I'm excited, but let's get to the local news here. Zach Werenski, this is Elite Company. Picks up his first Norris, the first for the organization. And I think of U.S.-born players to win the Norris, it's not a big list, right? I mean, you got Leach, obviously, Chelios, Quinn Hughes, Adam Fox, and Z. But this is massive, and it was something that we've talked about for a while, what he means to this organization. But give me your thoughts on him being named the top defenseman in the league.
So great for, one, the city of Columbus, but two, just for Zach. So with the work he's put in over the years, I got flashbacks when Torts and I were going to watch him in Cleveland when he was on that playoff run and they won the Calder Cup there. But just you could see something special in him, right? And you know, I think with Z, as you watch him progress every year, you're like, man, I just think there's a bit more to give and a bit more to give. And he matured. And these last 2 years, you've seen him just take that big step. So proud of him. He's such a tremendous young man. And he's got so much runway ahead of him, too. I think his best games are just there ahead of him. So it's just awesome to see.
Yeah, really cool. Lars, it's great to hear from you again. Appreciate your time. You brought up Torts, and I wanted to ask you this. And can you kind of paint the picture of the challenges for a head coach hopping on a moving train the way that he just had to do with Vegas, right? They make a move, 8 games to go. We're moving on. We run to bring in John Tortorella. So you know what it takes to coach at that level. Talk about that and maybe the challenges out of the gate that you deal with when you're having to learn a new team.
Yeah, he's talking about jumping in with both feet. I mean, you're at the end of the year. They released Bruce Cassidy, who's an outstanding coach, and high expectations. This was new for Torts. I remember talking to him right away, and I mean, he was into the plane to pick him up, take him to Vegas, and it was just a whirlwind. And you know, you got 8 games. That's not a lot of runway. Now, he did coach. You got to know he was with Eichel and Hannifin and some of the guys there right from the Olympics. He knew a few of the players, but still, he really had to lean on his coaches. And an outstanding job. The proof is just watching how they play, and you could see just his experience, right? You hear how he talks. You know, he assessed his teams in the first week or two. Obviously, they got off to a good start, started winning. But, I mean, recognized right away that that's a more experienced group. It's not a group you have to babysit. It was more needed some encouraging and rather than kind of pushing. So, I mean, all those years that he's put in the league, and, you know, we joked about it because 2 months prior from where he started, he was shoveling manure and never knew if he'd get a coaching opportunity again. And here he is in the Stanley Cup final. I couldn't be happier for the guy.
All right. So this is interesting because they swept Colorado, and that's the unthinkable. And maybe it wasn't as close as a sweep would indicate, but it still was. How does he work with that? How do they get that in their distant memory? Because you'd be ultimately confident coming off of sweeping the best team in the league. And now he doesn't have home ice either. I want to get your opinion on that, because if you were coaching, if you were him, big percentage if you win game one, and the fact that game one's in Carolina is an advantage. But do you prefer not having home ice? I think that would almost be weird to say.
Yeah, I think first of all, what you take from that series is it's just confidence, right? If I'm their team, and what they just did, I mean, I always say there's that fine line between arrogance and confidence, and as long as they keep it on that line of confidence, which I know Torts will with that group and their experience. Listen, they've been through it, a lot of those guys, so. I mean, you carry that right into the next series. Now, this is a different animal that you're facing with Carolina here. They're playing outstanding. Their goaltender's playing outstanding. They got 4 lines. And the one thing about Carolina is they got scars. This isn't their first rodeo, right? They're not a young team coming in. They've, like, Rod Brindamore is one of the best coaches in the league. I think he's gone under the radar for so long where they don't even talk about him enough. And they've got scars. You heard Rod in his press conference saying, you know, he pictured this 7 years ago, right? So they've gone through it. So I think it's just going to be, I just see game six, game seven, all over this series because they both defend well. Their goaltenders are playing well. They're very deep up the middle and have four lines. So I think you use that confidence, but I think this is going to be a heavyweight bout, like just blow for blow. But I also think it's going to be tight checking. Now, I could be wrong. Could be a 6-5 game to start this because of nerves. But I just believe this is going to be really, really hard to find open ice here for either team.
Lars, when you get to this point of the year and coaches are preparing on both sides for these opponents on the game's biggest stage, are there anything new that coaches have in their back pocket to throw at an opponent right now? Like, do you train throughout the year and practice your guys or get right guys ready in practice and maybe keep things in your back pocket to have for moments like this? Or these teams at this point just are who they are and they're going to try to gut it out and stick to their identity?
Oh, no, you're going identity all day long. Like, I know I've heard it in the NFL, not that I follow it nearly as closely as you guys, but, you know, how they have these plays that they kind of hold on to. I'm like, you're not holding on to anything at this point. You are what you are, and you want to impose your will on the other team. You want to just do it better. I mean, there's so much. They've played over 100 games. You got to understand this at this point. So there's no secrets anymore. It's just doing it better. And you know, I know, Anthony, I kind of skirted around the first part, but you said about starting on the road. I do think there's an advantage of starting on the road because there's so much distraction in your own building, you know, and for all the right reasons. You have family, you got, you know, everybody and their brother wants to come in now and see in the Stanley Cup Finals, right? So you're trying to make sure your family's taken care of for, again, for all the right reasons. But when you're on the road, most of those distractions are gone. You're in your hotel room. You're with your boys and, you know, you go to practice, you come back. It's so I think it could be an advantage in the sense of less distracted. Now, if you're asking me where I'd like to play game seven, if there was one, I'd like to play that at home all day long. But for the start of a series, I would have zero issue going on the road. In actuality, I think there might be a little bit less pressure, one, and two, I think less distracted.
He's the former Jackets head coach, Brad Larsen, NHL Network analyst, and learning to be a wave pool all-star this season.
All-star.
Maybe, yep. Maybe a lazy river for me, wave for you. Are there reasons to believe that the best players technically on paper are on Vegas, or am I wrong? Like, if you have Eichel and Marner and Stoney's back from injury, I mean, I know that Carolina's top line has been very good. How would you, the tail of the tape when it comes to rosters?
Yeah, so I think, I mean, if you look at Aho, that Aho line, Svechnikov, Jarvis, I think they've been a little bit late to the party. Not that they've been bad. They've been carried by Stankoven, that line with Hall and Blake. He kind of fell into a really good combo with that group, and they've been outstanding. I think that's Jordan Staal line. They check with Martinuk. I mean, they give you zero room. And then you have, you know, former Blue Jacket with Robinson and that group with Jankowski on the fourth line. I don't think they get the limelight, right? It's Carolina and it's Vegas. Vegas is in lights, and Carolina kind of just goes about their business every year and wins the division, and they go to two or three rounds, right? So I think, yeah, as far as, like, known star power, you bet. Eichel and Marner, they're Stone, they're much flashier names, but don't be fooled. That Carolina team, one, they play structurally well. That core group has been together forever. They're suffocating. That's the best way I can put it. They're suffocating, and you know, when they're off a bit, you saw game one in the last series, they were off for about 12 minutes and it cost them that game. And they gave up, you know, odd man rushes and breakaways and all that. But you saw for the rest of that series, man, there was zero room out there, zero. And if they play like that, and this is what's interesting about this series is that it's two completely different styles. Like Vegas is more of a layered system in their D zone. They're going to keep their D close to the net. They're going to use their centerman to flex out on anything high And they are going to block shots like there's no tomorrow. And Carolina, they're man-on-man hard. They're going to be pressuring all over the ice, and they believe they're going to win the one-on-ones. You know, so there's ways to break down both of those. And it's going to be interesting to see how they do it. And can they bypass Carolina's pressure? Can they be patient enough? And, you know, so this is what's so intriguing to me about the series.
It's going to be amazing, man. Can't wait. I know where your heart is. We'll see if it turns out that way. Well done, my man. Thanks for doing this on your vacation type day at the beach.
That's right. That's right. Well, this is Columbus Beach. Is that what we'll call it? Yes. Columbus Beach.
Absolutely. See you, brother. Thanks for jumping on.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yep. That's our guy, Brad Larson, former head coach of the Blue Jackets. He's doing a lot of analyst work everywhere, as you can tell. And then the bottom line is, and this is the obvious, it's who's going to make the key save? Who's going to do it? Is it Hart or Anderson? Is Anderson going to turn into a pumpkin? Is Carter Hart going to stay as high as he's been playing this level? And then it's that key save. But he's exactly right. This probably has seven written all over it, but who knows? They both dominated their semis. They both dominated their conference finals. And now here they are.
Yeah.
It is. Absolutely, it's going to be a heavyweight battle. All right, we're going to come back. And we'll switch to college football. One analyst putting the SEC on notice. You'll hear it next. Rothman.
In the old days when people lived to be 40, you only had one option for listening to your favorite show. But now, ooh, baby, radio, podcast, the Fan app, and YouTube. Ooh, just to name a few. Live or on demand. You have no excuses. The Fan.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Always as tender as a well-done steak. This is Rothman and Ice.
All right. Been a power-packed show so far. By the way, Bobby Carpenter today at 2:30.
There we go.
But TLC has given him a... I don't know what you'd call it, like a little bit of a furlough. He's letting him out of the studio.
What's going on today, TLC?
He's getting a demerit today.
Yeah. He's obviously not going to be in person. He'll be on the horn.
Okay. He's a busy man. He's got a lot going on. So the fact that he's giving us any of his time is always good. So, yeah, we can't wait to pick his brain on the trade, obviously, because it's still got some sticker shock to me for sure when you think about the player, the team that he went to, obviously for the impact for the Browns. Like it's got such a big domino effect feel to it of what this season could look like going into the draft and what this could mean, obviously, for Cleveland moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't going to say yes to too many teams.
No.
Like that's why, and we'll play some of the Andrew Berry here at the top of the hour in about 12 minutes, because I really, during the presser, and I listened to most of it, a lot of it was fine, and then it got to some maybe more detailed Q&A, and then it was very short. Then there were too many details that he didn't want to give. And I understand he wants to put a good PR spin on this. He did trade away a generational talent still in his prime, but that's hard to admit as an organization that you're that way, but I think he had enough feel where the fans are not going away.
No.
Cleveland's not losing football fans. Not they can say it, but they're not leaving.
They've got arguably the best fan base in the sport. Like, the Browns fans are incredible. The fact that they've stuck by this franchise with all the crap that they've had to go through and the crazy decision they made with Deshaun Watson and how that deal's kind of set them back with losing all the draft capital and the money that you spent, and the fans are still showing up and cheering the way that they cheer for this franchise.
Yeah.
It's a special fan base.
Plus, you weren't going to let them just jump onto yours. I mean,
I did tell CV yesterday, if he's that frustrated, I say it's a seat for him. Come on over at the castle. He can come on over.
I mean, so they can't all pull a Matty Ice. Some people did have to leave. All right. Joel Klatt, this is good stuff, because when a commissioner of a conference plays analyst himself and pats his conference on the back and starts stating how great they are still and how they're the best. And I know other guys have done this too. Other coaches have done it top to bottom. And I think most people
would agree
top to bottom
positions, right? Like, you're a commissioner, you know,
you're not going to shine a negative light on your conference whatsoever, especially when you're trying to compete for, well, this is why we should go to 16 or 24, whatever it may be. Like, yeah, you're going to dig in and protect your conference, your team, if you're a coach, all that. Like, just the game you have to play. Anything other than that's kind of foolish.
Nothing less is uncivilized. Yeah. Let's hear from Joel Klatt, Fox Sports, on pushing back a little bit on Mr. Sankey.
This is not 2012. This is not 2016, 15. I'm sorry, like Nick Saban is no longer there with his big old coattails for you to ride as a conference. It's not that way anymore. So I thought that we should recap what we learned from the SEC spring meetings. And I got to be honest, it wasn't a lot. What did we get? Propaganda. Awesome. Let's start with what Greg Sankey said. And it was basically, hey, we're the best. That is false. They are not by far the best conference in college football. And candidly, I don't even know if you can call them the best conference in college football. Why don't we just go to the data? Why don't we call balls and strikes? Because here's the thing. At a meeting like that, Greg is saying this to a group of writers who largely want that to be true. If you believe what he said deep down in your heart, it's because you want to believe what he said. You don't want to see the data. You don't want to see the truth. And that's fine. And that makes college football great, by the way. If you're a fan and you're mad right now because you sense what I'm about to talk about and you're thinking to yourself, like, no way, here he goes. That's fine because the passion in our sport is what makes our sport great. But what the data suggests is that what Greg said is absolutely false. The Big Ten is 4-0 over the SEC over the last three playoffs. 4-0 is not a small thing now.
Could you imagine
if he did it without music?
The instrumental at the beginning was kind of tough, and then it ramped up. It got a little better at the back end. Beginning of the instrumental was a little tough. But could you imagine, AR, if the SEC had ripped off three natties in a row, and they heard Big Ten fans or the commissioner of the Big Ten saying, well, we're still the best. We're the best. What their reaction to that would be, they would look at people up here like they're utterly ridiculous.
You can't use that word. If he wants to say we're the deepest, I got no problem with that.
Fine.
That's fine.
You can't be the king.
First cut is the deepest. Yeah. I honestly think that was, first of all, yes. I don't even know what to say. It's not. Here's where he can get it back right away. If Texas beats Ohio State, they can get it back. What's the other? Was there a big first? Not right. Not all of it. I'm just saying he can inch back a little bit if he gets a big win early. If the SEC scores a decent win over the Big Ten early.
I think it's more about.
I know it's last team standing.
Yeah,
but,
like one win over a Big Ten team. I don't know if they would get the crown back. You know what I mean?
No, that's not what I'm saying. He can inch his way back into it.
Sankey?
And feel like that maybe he doesn't look as bad as he looks today. What are the massive. I got to look and see what the massive. What are the biggest non-conference games?
I know we're getting, LSU and Clemson out of the gate.
You got Oklahoma at Michigan. So let's say Oklahoma beats Michigan. That's right, Oklahoma at Michigan. So let's say that Texas beats Ohio State. Oklahoma beats Michigan. Let's say Bama beats Florida State. Let's say, who else? Let's say Clemson beats LSU. That's
you know what I'd say? Go do it again in the playoff.
No, absolutely. I agree
with that. You can't get the crown back for regular season wins. Because they wouldn't play that game either, the other way. There's no way they would allow that or be on board with that.
It's not definitive. Yeah. That's not what I mean. Yeah, it's more of that if they don't want this thing to snowball on them. That's what I'm saying. Like if we come out of the gate those all go the other way.
All Big Ten?
Yeah, if they go the other way, then they're going to be climbing out of that of the PR thing. Now, you can rescue it in a playoff. One game playoff, expansion and all that. But I fully expect Indiana, Ohio State, Oregon, those teams are all going to, I mean, they have potential to be top five to start the year. Maybe not Indiana. Georgia will be up there. Texas will certainly be right there. LSU is supposed to be pretty good.
We do this in sports, AR, to where there's a guy or a team that's like the definitive best at it. And then they have a couple lean years, and there's some hesitation, I think, for some to say, well, this guy isn't the best player anymore.
Like, I think that's happened with Pat Mahomes, too, over the last couple of years. I think I would have been okay. Like, if anybody would have come out and said, I think Joe Burrow, Josh, Lamar, they're the best quarterback in the league right now. But people are afraid to do that. And I think that's what's happening around the world of sports, for in college football as well. For some, it's like what he's saying off the top, that being Clad, is when Saban was there, there's no doubt there was a feel of this is the best conference. But that's not the case anymore for the SEC. So they have to reprove themselves.
No doubt.
To the college football world, and the way some guys, like, look at Nikola Jokic right now. He had the crown for the best player in the NBA. I don't think that's the case right here, right now. He's got to reprove himself as the guy, and I think that's what the SEC is up against now, especially with the Big Ten ripping off three in a row.
Here's what he should have said. He should have said, a lot of respect to the Big Ten. A lot of respect to the Big Ten. They have been the last team standing the last few years. I'm looking around my conference, though, and I like the amount of at-bats I think we're going to get this year. I believe we have probably six of the top 15 teams in college football this year. And while the Big Ten may have three of the top 15, like, that's what he probably could have said and got away with it. Because I think that maybe it's not a factual statement. It's an opinionated statement. But I think it'll be factual in preseason rankings. Like, you'll see it in black and white.
For sure. It's just tough, right, that, like, one of the pillars of your conference, the last time we saw him, that being Alabama, they were getting their teeth kicked in by a Big Ten opponent.
We'll come back. You'll hear more from Andrew Berry and the Q&A of why now for the big blockbuster. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Just when you thought afternoons couldn't get any dumber.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you?
Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
Your home for dumb. The Fan.
When you saw your heat.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon. I'm Tyler Danberg, Blue Jackets defenseman. Zach Werenski was named last season's winner of the Norris Trophy, given to the top defenseman in the NHL. Werenski on being the first Blue Jacket to ever win the award.
I got married in Columbus. I'm my first kid in Columbus. It means a lot to me. It's a really special place. And, you know, I've always tried to be the best player I can be for the franchise and be the best defenseman I can be. And that does feel special to win one with Blue Jackets.
Werenski led the CBJ with 22 goals and 59 assists for 81 points, leading league blue liners in multi-point games, even strength goals, and shots on goal. In golf, second day of practice rounds continue today for the Memorial Tournament. The annual Golden Bear Pro-Am starts Wednesday morning with top-ranked two-time defending champ Scottie Scheffler among those to tee off at 7 a.m. Baseball today, Guardians visit the Yankees at 7:05, Reds host the Royals at 7:10. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Orthopedic One, Central Ohio's most trusted orthopedic practice. Find a physician or location near you at orthopedicone.com.
All right, here we go. Final hour. Rothman and Ice. Bobby Carpenter, 230. Andrew Berry sounds like a good dude. Like listening to his press conferences. A pretty decent handle on things. I know that he's made some moves, certainly, we can dissect, but they all have. But the one thing that I find interesting is that, you know, the fan base, and even people that cover the team, are kind of calling him out, even though not on the trade specifically, but on what's surrounding the trade. And what I mean by that is this. He said that he's not, they didn't auction Miles off. Why wouldn't you? The only reason you wouldn't is if he gave you a one-team trade list. I'll go to the Rams and nowhere else. And I find that hard to believe. Because if he wanted out, there had to be at least four or five teams he would have said to Andrew Berry, he said to his agent, tell him to call these. Whoever gives him the best deal, but we're going to one of them. Or come back, talk to us, tell us what's happening, keep us up to date on stuff, and maybe we'll be the tiebreaker. Maybe he comes, hey, these deals are all pretty good. Is there a certain team you'd rather? We'd rather ship you to the NFC than the AFC. Mm-hmm. Not that they're going to be facing the Bills in any postseason anytime soon. Like, they probably don't have to worry about that. But if they think Myles Garrett has a, I don't know, 5 years left of terrorizing quarterbacks, and they plan to be good in three, we'd like not to accidentally run into him. All right, that's fine. But him starting stuff with, we didn't push the bonus 6 months out to facilitate a trade.
It's a lie.
BS.
It's a lie.
Of course you did. And I'm not saying he owes everybody an answer, but he does have to stand in front of those microphones. Maddie, there's so many things he can't say.
Correct.
Because the biggest question I have is, so when did Myles Garrett come to you and say he wanted out?
Last year.
Okay. And what did you do with that information? We told him no. Okay.
And we gave him $40 million a year as well.
And then
we told him no.
We decided, yeah, we paid him.
Yeah.
And we decided that we have to think of the future and where this team is going. How they got him to agree to move the bonus, I can only come to one conclusion. He wanted out.
No question. You're right. I'm with you.
Why would he defer money and also pay a lot more in California taxes if he wanted to stick around?
Correct. He, his agent, Andrew Berry, I think everybody has been on board with this for a while now. I've trained my brain to look at GMs, coaches, and players and just know that they're not telling us the truth. And so I'm not looking at Andrew Berry any differently or feeling like he deceived. Like, I think that's kind of the job.
It's
what you sign up for,
right?
Is deception, to have a pretty high level of that as a GM, to not let people in and read your cards all the time. And so when he said a couple weeks ago, a few months ago, whenever that was, that Myles Garrett was going to be a career Brown, I'm sure, yes, so that's how he would like things to go. But I think realistically, when he got done talking to the media, you go back to work, you know what time it is, and you know that this guy wants out of the situation. When it comes to the teams that he wanted to go to, reports yesterday that it was, you know, the teams that were interested in acquiring were the Rams, the Eagles, and the Cowboys. I said yesterday, I think he would have been on board with all those. TLC brought it up yesterday when it came to Miles. He's getting everything that he wants. Everything that he wants.
Sure.
He's going from Cleveland to L.A. His new partner, Chloe Kim. A lot of the Olympic training happens out in L.A. And so that has to matter in this, too. We hear from athletes all the time, right? Like, when you have a wife, like, that has to factor into what you do. When you have all that stuff going on, that wouldn't be, to me, that's baked into this as well, is that my girlfriend, fiance, soon-to-be wife, all of that stuff, spends a lot of time out there, too. So I want to be with her.
Yeah. That's right. I laughed because I was talking to somebody the other day, and we were talking about like the weather in Ohio and this and that, and we both came to the conclusion, if you weren't born here, if you didn't grow up here, you're here for two reasons: the job or a partner. Like, right?
It's usually it.
Yeah. It's not something that you would seek out, right? Probably.
Yeah.
Here's Andrew Berry. All right, TLC, set this up. Which chunk of this are you going to play?
Do you want the first five or the last five?
So the first five is probably opening statement and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And the last five is, I think the last five.
So why don't we do this?
Yeah.
Oh. Why don't we play the first five now and the second five in pre-snap?
Okay.
And our next, just to see what the temperature was like, the tone, before we get to the back.
Am I correct? The first five is him starting?
I imagine so.
Okay.
Adam's brother, take it away.
All right, morning, everyone. So I'll be honest, I did not have this preference conference on my bingo card for this spring. I know you all have heard me say for a number of years at this point that, you know, Myles Garrett, he's a foundational player, you know, Hall of Fame worthy, and a homegrown talent that's been here for the decades. And, you know, our intent was to have him be a one-helmet player for his career. And that was the truth. And even to this day, you know, when Miles's, you know, career is over, we look forward to welcoming him back, you know, into the organization. But there are moments, you know, particularly in my job, where, you know, opportunities come up that, quite honestly, are unexpected. And they force you to stop and reevaluate and look at it and say, hey, you know, is this something that could be, you know, really beneficial to the team? And that was the case in this instance where, you know, it got to a certain point where we looked at, you know, what the trade details were. And we asked ourselves, okay, you know, do we hold here regardless of, you know, how, you know, because of how emotionally right it felt,
Or do we ultimately make a decision that, that you know, we think has a huge benefit, you know, to the team in both the short, you know, and long term? You know, I'd always told myself that if, you know, we were ever in a position where we were going to trade Miles, three things would have to be true. Number one, it would have to have short and long term benefits. Number two, as part of the trade, a young, cost-controlled star at a premium position would have to be included. And the third piece is that there would have to be premium draft capital. And there's a very small set of, you know, deals that really satisfy those constraints. So when it got to the point with our negotiations with the Rams, when, you know, all those things were satisfied, it really, you know, caused us to take a step back and think about, you know, really think about the decision. You know, Jared Verse, he's obviously a huge part of this return for us. You know, Jared is an outstanding football player, former defensive rookie of the year, two-time original ballot Pro Bowler. He's a perfect DNA match for our attacking front. He's really a terror in both phasers, both phases, both as a, you know, run defender and a pass rusher. And we are really, really excited to add him to our team. He allows us to continue to play defense as a high level, which has been our standard over the past several seasons. And we're really excited to welcome him into the organization. So we're excited about this transaction. It wasn't something that we anticipated, certainly coming into this year or coming into the spring or quite honestly coming out of the draft. But it's a great opportunity for our team, and I know there are a ton of questions, so I'll open it up.
I have one.
What is your question?
Andrew, what came first, the offer from the Rams or the request from Miles?
Well, if we're going by the timeline, it would be the request last year. So you're saying another request. Is that what you're asking about? Did he come back to the table?
There's a fourth one that there's a fourth one in his three-pronged attack that he forgot. Miles has to be on board.
Correct. No trade clause.
He has a full no-trade clause. I could listen to the greatest offer in the world, but if Miles Garrett wants to stay in Cleveland, I can't do a thing about it.
Right.
And I'm not going to like drag my star into the public eye saying we want to make this move in betterment of the franchise, but he won't do it.
I have a question, too.
Okay.
He's cited as one of his, you know, three prongs in his attack is that it has to have short and long term benefits. What are the short term benefits?
Well, my guess is he got a tangible piece that could be a competitive piece on his football team.
But who is worse than Miles Garrett?
Well, most are.
Right. But what's the short-term benefit of getting a lesser player?
I think what he meant by that is a tangible piece, not another pick, a future fictitious player 100%. To be named later.
Yeah. I'm trying to start a quarterback controversy. He's drafted in a quarterback in 27.
Well, right.
All right, that's
I'm
what we're
sorry.
Doing.
I didn't know you were going down that line of question. I agree that I said yesterday the guy that really took the brunt of this is probably Shadur. We'll see, because and Deshaun, but Deshaun probably wants to audition himself for another team anyway, because they're not handing him another bag.
I disagree with that.
They could.
PTSD.
They could if the other team, if there are not a lot of other teams, Maddie, that want to pay him.
But I just think if he plays well for you, what are we doing saying we don't want that guy to come back? That's just my stance.
And well, you're going to outbid somebody.
You know
for
why?
Him?
I'll tell you why.
You fool me, we can't get fooled again.
That's right. But you're not going to be fooled because he's playing well. That's the other thing.
All right, now you're going to see it. Conveniently timed playing well.
Now, here's the good thing. That was the front part of the presser. The back part of the presser will play next, which is some of that Q&A. Rothman.
P.S.
Think you know Buckeye football? These two say, hold my beer. The Beat with Austin and Berm.
Sponsored by the Waterworks.
Daily on the Fan's YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Lots of sunshine today across central Ohio with temperatures getting into the upper 70s and breezy winds. For tonight, skies will be mostly clear overnight as our lows get down into the 40s and 50s. And then as we get to the forecast for Wednesday, lots of sunshine and warmer as highs will get up around 80 degrees. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 weather impact forecast.
Catch T-Bone and Tyvus weekday mornings from 6 to 9. If you're not completely satisfied, we'll rewind time and erase your brain. For real, The Fan. Rockman and Ice present pre-snap reads.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy today at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
All right, before we play the back half of the presser, I mean, this would be absolutely crazy. Aaron Donald tells Pat McAfee after the Rams acquired Myles Garrett, it sure got me thinking.
Oh, boy.
What's he been up to?
Working out like crazy. That's all he does. He still looks like he could go right now.
35. He hasn't played in 2 years, right?
Hadn't played in a couple of years. But if you're going to unretire and walk back into any situation, this is the one to do it.
You think that pilot light is still flickering?
I still think he could help them for sure. And you think about what's opposite him now with Kobe Turner and obviously Myles Garrett over there.
Life would be easy for him.
That's what I'm saying. Life would be pretty easy for Aaron Donald to come on back.
We'll ask Carp about that.
And help him out. Yeah. But yeah, he still looks the part, man. Like he still looks like he could get after. I mean, I know Bengal fans don't like the memory, but I mean, him having that critical sack in L.A. to win that Super Bowl and flash into the crowd like we just won a ring is a pretty baller moment right there. The way they kind of walked that thing off.
I don't know.
I want to see
how
it.
Are they gonna,
I want him
how
to
How do they pay for all of this? What did he get last year?
Aaron Donald?
Yeah, because I think that's what he would make if he came back. Unless he asked for more.
I don't know.
And I don't think he would. Because they would play more like, hey, you want to jump on this, we're not paying you, we're not adjusting, right?
Do you say that to Aaron Donald, though?
Yeah, we're the Super Bowl favorites without you.
Yeah, but I'm an all-timer for the franchise. I think you got to treat me a little better than
that. I'm
not
saying he's got to do it for free. I'm just saying I'm not adjusting.
I don't think the money would be ridiculous anyway.
Yeah, I don't think it would. All right. So that's out there.
I need to see.
All right, TLC, when you, Sir Mix-a-Lot, the music down, the second half of this is the Q&A?
Yes.
All right, this should be fun.
So where do you feel like the roster stands in terms of that kind of player? Do you have those kinds of players to kind of step in and fill those shoes of the role that Miles held, not just in the locker room, but around Northeast Ohio?
Yeah, I'd say this. I think one of the toughest things in professional sports is when players who everyone knows their name locally leave and new ones that they don't know the names of, you know, take their roles. I think, you know, probably could have asked me the same question, you know, with Nick Chubb last year, right? And, you know, we saw, you know, Quinshon come in and make himself a household name in Northeast Ohio, or, you know, David Njoku this year, and, you know, we have Harold Fannin. So I think that, look, professional sports can be cyclical at times, and that's always tough, you know, in these moments. But we are really excited about, you know, a number of the players that we have in the locker room that I think our fans will either continue to get more familiarity with or gain familiarity with over the upcoming season.
Andrew, you talked a lot about Jared and how Jared was sort of the piece that made you do the deal. How long have you sort of, I don't know if covet's the right word, but how long have you sort of been kind of zeroed in on him as a player that you guys really like? I mean, this is go all the way back to the 24 draft. I mean, just what is it about him that made him just such a swing piece in this?
You know, we liked him a lot coming out. You know, we weren't, you know, really in position to take him, you know, obviously the year that he came out, because he came out in 24. You know, that I would say that probably had less of a bearing on this, you know, this transaction. But, you know, what made it really easy is he's like an outstanding player at 25 years old at a very, very hard to find position. So, yes, like we're excited to have him specifically, but it's, you know, it's not necessarily like this was like a, you know, a 2 year focal point in the making.
And it being an emotional, obviously, decision for you guys as an organization, can you speak at all to the emotions maybe shared with Miles and what his emotions kind of were like in understanding what was kind of happening?
You know, I think it's more appropriate for Miles to comment on that, but what I can share is that it just was a really good it was a really good meeting. It was bittersweet is maybe the way I would describe it. But I'd probably let him comment on it more than me. Go ahead, Tony.
We remember Todd at his introduction saying Miles was one of the reasons this job was attractive to him. So what was his reaction when you told him you're not going to have the best player in the league?
Yeah, you know, Todd was excited in terms of the deal. He understood the short and long term, you know, benefits. Again, it's not about, you know, not wanting a Miles Garrett on your team. But he's very excited to have Jared. He's very excited to have, you know, the additional resources. And Todd's really smart. Like he understands the short and long term ramifications. And I think, you know, one of the things that's unique about this deal relative to, you know, maybe the other non QB like superstar deals that come out is that we made a trade with I guess, you know, multiple you know, players and picks. And usually when you make these trades, you're completely trading off present for future. And to get a player like Jared in the deal where the defense still maintains its excellence, you know, that was really attractive to us.
What do you think Jared's upside potential as an edge rusher is? I see, you know, he went from like 4.5 to 7.5. Where do you see that going? And do you feel like with what you have on the team now, you can accomplish the pressure and the pass rush that you want to generate?
Absolutely. I wouldn't sit here and, you know, put a cap on any player's ceiling. I just know the list of players that have been Defensive Rookie of the Year and original ballot Pro Bowlers in their first two seasons is very small.
Been more of a pressures guy than a sacks guy so far in his career. What is your philosophy on the relationship between those two statistical categories?
Yeah, I'd comment less on that and just say this is a guy who really gets after the quarterback really well.
You know what I like about that? There's a nice level of confidence in his own abilities that I heard in that clip that we played there. Because at the beginning, I think he was a very nice way of him shining a light on, I got this. He went through the Nick Chubb goes out, Quinshon comes in. David Njoku's on his way out, Harold Fannin comes in. I think that was him letting us know without saying, I know what I'm doing. Believe in me. I'm showing you that while, yes, this is a tough decision to make, I have a pretty good eye for talent. Nobody's ever going to be perfect, but I think he was backing his own self with the way that he framed that there. Another thing that I'm not really buying, AR, is that Todd Monken is, quote, excited about the move. You can't be excited about losing the best player in the league when you're a coach trying to prove that you are worthy of being a head coach. That, to me, I would not be excited personally.
Excited is probably the wrong word. But I think what he was trying to say is that he knows what we're building here and he's on board. That's kind of what he wanted to say, that we just hired him. We're not judging him on this season, whether he can coach football. We're actually doing what maybe Pittsburgh should be doing with a new coach, which is start the rebuild, start the process. And I think the Browns are finally, listen, they've been rebuilding for decades. But this feels like they finally had a piece where they really feel good about it. And I've been pointing, you guys have heard me probably ready to shut up on it, that if I own the team and I know I'm going to get this brand new stadium, and I want to be able to roll that out with a very competitive football team, that you can start, that it's not just about the stadium, it's about who we're going to be watching in that stadium. That's what I'd be saying at the press conference. And the fact that they got the Defensive Rookie of the Year from 2 years ago with 2 years left on his rookie deal plus a fifth-year option is a win, and he should be credited for that.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll find out if it works out. Life's a gamble. We don't know. He's got to try
it. You know what? Life's a gamble. Let's take him.
He's got a very good insulation from his owner that's allowing this GM to make these moves. The GM, the coach, has some insulation, and the GM that hired him feels like he doesn't have to prove himself in year one, that this will be a process that you will be a part of. So you're right. Excited may be the wrong word.
Yeah, it's just dicey if
he's on board.
If I'm Todd Monken, that's a little dicey, right? Because I don't have the resume Mike McCarthy has. because I agree with you with what Pittsburgh should do. If I'm Mike McCarthy, yeah, I can kind of afford that because I've won a Super Bowl and done some other good things. Todd Monken, you roll out a 3-win season in your first year. There's no guarantee that you're going to be around years two, three, four.
It's part of the plan.
I don't know.
They're not firing him after year one.
No, but I'm saying year two and beyond. I'm not going to sit here and say that Todd Monken's for sure going to be here in the next 3 years.
No, no one can because we don't know what the picks are going to turn into. But the reason he used the word excited, and maybe that was a little strong, but I think the reason he used it, Maddie, was because if I am that coach, Myles Garrett led to how many wins last year?
5.
Okay. So what I want as a head coach is
the best player in the league.
No. That's what I want. I'd like that. Yeah. But if that best player leads me to 3 or 4 really good players, I'll have a better team. And if it gets me a better quarterback, that's what I want as a head coach.
I know, but
that's
to me,
why he's on board.
That's just a lot of ifs. And if I'm Todd Monken, I'd rather have Myles Garrett than not. I don't have enough on my resume to afford a bad season and guarantee myself that I'm going to be around again, let alone get another opportunity.
He's not starting in the basement. He's starting at equilibrium.
This trade proves that he has some runway. You're not hiring a coach expecting him to win 9 games and trading away their best player.
That's not the expectation. I'm just saying I don't buy that Todd Monken is excited strong, but even happy about this. There's just no way that you come into the NFL, your first crack. Like, we played the press conference for Monken. He was adamant about how great Myles Garrett was and all of that stuff, and now he's happy about that? I'm not buying it.
It might get him a better team, though, 2-3 years down the road.
And I just don't think he's going to be around to coach that team. I think somebody else will be the coach.
That's a whole different deal. We'll ask Harp about it in 2 minutes. Rothman.
PSA.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Hitting a hole in one into your ear hole.
Ew.
This is Rothman and Ice.
The big fella. Bobby Carpenter with us on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fangus Hotline. Do you like the trade for the Browns, my man?
So full disclosure, I was lurking in the access just listening to you guys.
Okay.
You know, just kind of popping out when the time was right.
Mm-hmm. You were voyeuring.
I'll tell you, I do like the trade for the Browns, and let's be real about this. I mean, Myles Garrett wanted to be out last year. You can pay somebody and get them to stay, but does that really change how they feel about the situation? No. Like, it just makes them more respected publicly, I guess, that they're like, hey, we valued you so much that we chose to pay you and to help buy your happiness, but you're really not happy. And he wants to win. They're really not in a position to win. He's been really stinking good there. With that, like, there's a little bit of this with the Browns. Like, if you're Todd Monken, Maddie, I'll say this. I wouldn't use the term, like, happy, but there is a sense of relief that he doesn't have to answer these damn questions anymore about, you know, Myles Garrett and, oh, have you guys patched things up? Oh, you know, he wasn't at OTAs. Mm-hmm. And this is part of him. Like, Myles is a different dude, and I've never met him personally, but just kind of watching and talking to some of the guys that played up there with him. And not in a bad way. Like, he's just a unique guy. He's not like a all football guy all the time. And that's fine, but that's hard when it's your best player and your franchise guy when you don't have a quarterback to take the center stage. So Myles has become that de facto guy. And like, that's kind of how Dallas was when I got there with Roy Williams. Like, they'd never had a consistent quarterback. And so he became like the face of the franchise as a defensive guy. And it's a unique situation to be in. And Myles isn't Cam Hayward. Like, he's not a guy. Like, he goes out there, works hard, and people, you know, it's always shows up ready to play. Absolutely. But he's not really a culture creator. Like, he'll exist in what's there, and he'll go have success regardless. But he's not the guy that's turning the Titanic and avoiding the iceberg. Like, that's not him. Like, that's Cam Hayward. And you know, Cam's maybe not quite the player that Myles is, but him going to Los Angeles, where they've got a star quarterback. They were just plays away from it being in the Super Bowl. They've got a strong, embedded head coach. Like, they're going to play aggressive. It's going to be a better setup for him because, hell, they're going to actually be winning in games, so he'll be able to rush the passer more. So, like, there's going to be some better – it'll be a better situation. And so I think it'll let him be able to be more him as opposed to trying to, you know, square peg, round hole it. And you get a really good young player who has 2 years left, which I know you love, Rothman, of salary control. You know, you slap that
plus an option.
Plus the option, plus a couple of tags. I mean, he might be in a wheelchair by the time you get him out of there, Rothman. It's perfect. Just slap him with a couple of those tags, Maddie. And then you get a 1, 2, and a 3. Like, I think this, I don't think it's a fire sale, Rothman. I think what they're trying to do is kind of like soft landing this thing, touchdown. Like, we've got some pretty good pieces. We feel like we got our offensive linemen. We just got to find the quarterback. So now we have another young piece, and maybe in 2 years we'll be in a situation where we can be a team that's like 10-7. We could be like a Patriots style team that kind of bottomed out, but we didn't go all the way down. Living there, we'll just kind of bounce it maybe 5 to 7 wins and bounce through there, Rothman, and kind of take back off.
And listen, they've already told everybody that they were more than a player away. Like, they've made trades. And I said to Maddie, and you heard us, that it's not that Monken's happy he doesn't have the best defense player in the league. But I think he's on board with what they're building. Plus, they hired him not to win this year. These moves tell me that. And so, hopefully, he'll get a better team out of this in the long run. That you lose Garrett, but you can turn him into more because he hasn't helped you get more.
Exactly. Is him being there, how many wins is that translating for you with where you're currently comprised as a team? And honestly, like, when Andrew went up there, I mean, I think he dropped a "we don't plan for these things." I mean, it was full Matty's ex. Like, we don't plan for these things. This was just really put in front of us. I mean, you need to go back and listen to his opening statement.
I know.
I'm like, all I can hear is that voice in my head, and it is what it is, guys.
I apologize. I feel really bad, but it is what it is, Again, I do apologize, but what can I do? We never plan for these things, but they happen, and sorry, I do apologize. Look, you just have to learn from it. And, I apologize. I do.
We have a three-pronged attack, guys. That's what we were trying to do. And to Maddie's point, like, well, which happened first? Well, guys, last year he asked for a trade. Okay, and that was a good point by you, Matt. Which happened first? Well, everybody knows that last year he came out publicly, and you know what? We went and bought him a really nice dinner. Got him. This is no different than some sort of marriage. Well, we went to some counseling, got a bigger house, got you a new car, and maybe things will get a little better. But reality wise, we're not even in a better situation than we were last year.
Bobby, we were talking earlier about Denzel, and should they be thinking about maybe moving on from him with where he is in age and how good of a player he is? But, 3 years down the road, when he's 33, are you going to still be getting the same Denzel Ward? Would you be thinking about trading him right now?
Here's the thing. You don't want to go full fire sale mode, because then it's like, I think that soft landing thing. Now, if someone came out and was like, hey, we lost a corner, and this is like the Indianapolis Colts with Sauce Gardner. It's like, hey, we'll give you a one. Mm-hmm. All right, you'll give me a one. We'll whack off, $18 million or whatever Denzel's making in salary, and we can put that salary moving forward. But I don't think that you can take inquiries about it. Whereas, my house isn't for sale, but if you come up and ask, I can always buy another house if the price is right. But I think people seeing this is like, okay, well, maybe they're, I wouldn't say open for business, but if there's the right opportunity presents itself, then maybe that's something that they could do. But the other thing with Denzel, Maddie, there's a little things that are bigger. Like, Denzel's a great culture guy. He's a Cleveland guy. And so, he kind of checks some more of those boxes in, the PR public area that maybe Myles Garrett didn't quite check on that other side.
Bob, it's one of those deals where they finally had to do it. I know that they played the PR game long enough, but he had a full no trade. Yeah. So, I guess the question I was asking earlier, was it the Rams or nothing? Would he have,
Someone said they called the Bears, and the Bears, he didn't pick up.
Really?
What's his name? That's what I had heard. You have to look through that. I saw something this morning.
Because they've been in the pass rushing kind of business this offseason. That would have made a lot of sense for sure.
Well, they're a team that's kind of hitting a window. You start looking at some of those teams, and someone said that, and I thought that they said that they had maybe reached out, or that it had been rumored that they did. And what's his name? Their GM Poles.
Ryan Poles.
I don't know. He was at some event with his kids, or at a yoga class or something, and we kind of laugh about that, but it's like, hey, if we're going to call you, and here's the reason why I don't think it was open auction, Rothman. Mm-hmm. I don't think they wanted this to be public. I think they wanted this thing to be an open and shut.
Yeah.
We're gonna show you what happened. And hey, it's not everybody's taking bids and Miles isn't here. That's why we're kind of slow playing all of that other stuff. And then we're just going to announce the deal. So, and by the way, I don't know if you're getting much better than what they got. They got basically a number one draft pick who's actually produced and is there. You get 1, 2, and a 3 in the next 3 years. Like, it pretty much gives you everything you want.
It really is. I honestly, we both agreed with that yesterday.
Yeah.
You're never going to win the trade publicly today because you don't know what those picks are going to be, yesterday. But, and also the headliner is the piece that got away. It's Myles Garrett. So on paper, you're never going to win that trade, but you could eventually. And here's the deal. He's in the NFC. You're not going to accidentally run into him in a game that matters. And hopefully, well, maybe one day you'd hope to, but that's it. So whether it was Dallas or the Eagles or the Rams or the Niners or anybody, I think getting him to the NFC, and I think you're right. They wanted Jared Verse, who they really, really liked, to not hear it in the media.
Yes, and that's the thing. You don't want this all lingering. The longer it takes, the messier it gets. And you've got, like, everybody's like, well, you only got 1-1. You've got a guy who is playing as a number one pick, who is a first-round pick, and is playing as that for you. I know that the potential thinks that you could maybe find the next Myles Garrett or Aaron Donald, but you could also find the next guy who's out of the league in 3 years, too. Sure. So, like, you've got to balance a little bit of that.
All right, my man. We'll see you soon. It's been a business doing pleasure with you. Thank you.
Yes, you guys out there tomorrow, man?
Yes,
tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Thursday, Friday, Maddie,
where are you going, Maddie, the next couple days?
We've got our first baseball tournament. I don't know if I told you, I'm coaching a baseball team this summer.
Really?
Yeah, 15-year-old team. So, yeah, we're getting after it, man. Like, so, that's popping off this weekend.
I made him call Jack to tell him he wasn't coming.
I manage a baseball team, Little League, Fantasy League.
Fantasy League. Oh, man. All right, bud.
Good job.
See you soon.
Love it, guys.
Thanks.
See you, man.
Bud.
Yep.
That's Bobby Carpenter with us on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fangus Hotline. Tell the Truth is next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Which would you rather have, high cholesterol or...
All your favorite fan shows are on YouTube. Along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth. Experience the splendor of Bo sitting in his closet, Timmy Hall's gaudy gold chains, and Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90-degree weather. It's all there. Head to YouTube and subscribe today.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Weston Air Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Tell the Truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by McDaniel GM Superstore. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
All right, TLC, take us home.
All right, Matty Ice, tell the truth. Where are we going to eat for the Dinger Draft that Rothman's going to foot the bill?
Uh-oh.
Well, this is bad news.
Wait.
I mean, it's been over for weeks.
I don't even know what the tab is right now. Where's the count at, TLC? Do you have the numbers ready to go? Because I don't even think we talked about this yesterday.
Here is the update. Team Ice in the lead with 60. Me hanging out in the middle at 55. Team Rothman with 48. He needs Gino Suarez and Kyle Tucker to figure it out.
You know, I'm kind of happy you said what you said. So lock that away, your first comment. About where I'm okay.
Me jumping the gun.
I'm kind of glad you went public with that on June 2nd.
You kind of did go full Matty Ice.
So that's cool. Right there. That's cool. That's probably what we needed. So you said guys figure it out. Maybe all they needed was that.
Dang it, T.O.
So I'm kind of glad you did it.
Come on, bro.
I don't think it's truly going to mean anything. But.
If Vinny Pasquantino also wants to figure it out, that'd be great for me.
Oh, all man. Right. But no, we'll collab
on basically
that.
Did the...
He printed the shirts on the Dinger Draft.
Absolutely did.
He really did.
All right. And I don't care about catching you.
Which is very much unlike me.
It really is.
It just happened.
This is the first time, though, AR, I think there's been a pretty decent gap between you and TLC and my squad. Because you've kind of felt that way, and then he's rolled out the numbers, and it hasn't been
injuries that big are always possible.
That,
we don't know how that's going to go.
Every week, that elevation on that treadmill just kept going like this on my team. I could just feel it.
That's your thing at the gym? You're a big incline treadmill guy?
No.
On the bike?
Yeah, you turn the knob a little bit. Get a little resistance going, maybe in the final minute.
But,
all right. Well, you guys, all right, so answer his question.
60, 55, 48.
Where are you going?
Where would we go? TLC, you're into steakhouses, right?
Not really.
Oh. That's a good answer for me.
It's great for AR then.
All right, so where would you...
Oh, I thought you meant, like, recommendations for steakhouses.
No, no, I'm he's like, trying to figure out where you guys are...
I could eat in a steakhouse, sure.
Okay. Okay, well, we got options to pick from around the city. That's for sure. But this thing isn't going to end for another, what, 3 months?
How do you like
months?
Hibachi? Do you like smelling like your food?
Fine. What's in your top three, like, right now? Like, restaurants that I would have to take you guys to.
But it has to be a place that Ice would actually eat.
There's plenty of places like that where I could get, like, a nice steak and, you know, Brussels sprouts or something like that. I'll be good.
I'm not
Don't worry about me. You worry about your palate.
I'm not going to Hyde Park this thing. I'm not going to do that to you.
Palate. Might have got a siren.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, my.
I think so.
That's generous.
Worry about your palate. I think that's a siren. Come on.
I'm kind of with TLC. I don't know.
Big word alert.
I almost big
Who's
word.
Using that?
I almost big word alerted Sam Monson when he said glib.
Yeah, exactly.
I almost jumped in.
Who's using
And he'd have been like, what's... He would have thought that, like, there was some, like, tsunami going on in Columbus, Ohio. Like, some
that would have been awesome.
Some weather alert.
Oh, man. One of the restaurants I really like around town is... And I think you may have been to one of these, is Napa. There's one up in Westerville. There's one at Easton. They do a good brunch. They do a good lunch and dinner.
They sell some great auto parts. You can get... It's a one-stop shop.
Not that
Get but a steak and a muffler.
But the Napa...
smoke and a pancake. Sorry.
Oh, Bob Evans, I'm down for that.
But that's one restaurant I enjoy. I think all of us would enjoy eating there. So I'll shout out. I'll give Napa a shout out. It's a nice spot.
Make your reservation. He said it. Pick the day right now. Get a good table.
The last day of the regular season. Go ahead, TLC. I just want to find when that date could potentially
It'll be
for
clinched
us.
By that.
Let me see what it is.
All right.
We can't wait to get the hell out of Cleveland. Just like Miles Garrett.
Shout out to the new day.
Well, that came true.
Last it did. The last day of the regular season is September 27th.
All right.
So, we got a long way to go, Ayer. You're still alive.
Do we?
Yeah.
I'm glad he said what he said. I'm not going to lie. Because we're already out of it. And then that may be the motivation my team needed.
You know what? I'm glad, too. Because I like this personality out of you and rather than the wet blanket you are every other time we talk about this. So I'm glad that we spiced it up for this
segment. That's right.
All right. Yesterday was National Game Show Day. Was there a game show of choice that you would like to participate in if you ever were to be on TV for an episode?
I mean, they want to run back Deal or No Deal. I'd be in on that. I don't know how good I'd be.
It's the easiest one.
But that's what I was going to say.
You know. That's a great experience. Maybe walk out of there a nice chunk of change, and I think I would enjoy my time, you know, looking up at those briefcases.
Maddie and I, when that's on during our briefcase full of blues, when we look up at that show sometime in the noon hour, we always say, all right, would you take the offer or not? And that's the one.
Yeah. Deal or no deal.
Slobby and Chicken, wherever he's from.
Wouldn't be bad, though, TLC, to get a crew together and go on Family Feud with Steve Harvey hosting. It'd be a good time.
That would be good.
Be a good time.
All right, well,
maybe throw TLC in the back of a cash cab, CB.
Who would be our team?
Oh, man, you're a good trivia guy. I think I would fold under pressure. It'd be a lot of red X's with
Not
me.
Not a trivia, though. That's a true. Thinking of what other people are thinking.
That's true.
I would fall so victim to what the show is intended to do, which is every question is like borderline double entendres, and I would just be giving those sexual answers
well, then
possible.
We'll need Bobby.
That's all I'd be thinking about. Oh, my God, but yes.
Bobby would have to be on the squad.
He's on the squad. Bobby's on our team.
Well, yeah, I think Family Feud, too, would be a fun one to participate.
Bobby's going to become a star on that show, let me tell you.
Put Bobby on the Price is Right with me. Let him. Hey, Bob, or Drew, I've got a designated wheel spinner. Let me bring up my man. We'll rip that thing right off its hinges.
National Rocky Road Day is today. So what is your go-to ice cream flavor? Me, personally, when I go to Grater's, I get one scoop of chocolate chip cookie dough and one scoop of the, of course, black raspberry chip.
Okay, that's a win. I know you've been... cookies and cream, AR. Kind of basic, but that's always a nice little dub for your boy. Yeah. Cookies and cream.
Old school for me would be mint chocolate chip.
Okay.
That would be
Garrett. Miles?
Exactly. By the way, read that like a third grade textbook, too.
Do you
have any more Garretts on the roster, coach?
You got the New Day dropping there again. Give me Kofi.
We can't wait to get the hell out of Cleveland, just like Miles Garrett.
Jesus.
It's awesome.
Hey, before we go, you miss anything from our show, don't worry, folks. You can always catch up wherever you get your podcasts. Just type in Rothman and Ice. Everything we do from noon to 3, we'll be waiting there for you. Subscribe to the podcast as well. Common Man and Timmy are coming up next. So, yeah, don't move.
We'll talk to you from the halfway house.
Let's go.
At Jack's Place tomorrow at noon. Join us then. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Catch the latest from the world of Ohio State athletics. Weeknights at 6 on the Buckeye Show. New special guests in everything Scarlet and Gray.